Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast. Welcome in at 4:02. It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio, as well as this show and the gym class who just finished up. You missed anything from Mark and Scott, or Scott and Mark? Don't want to play favorites? You can download the podcast. It's available now at KGYMRadio.com. Lots of ground to cover over the next 3 hours. We welcome you in for all of the 3 hours or just a portion of it. Doesn't matter to us as long as you're listening. We've got a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. Going to hand that out sometime between now and 7 o'clock tonight. As we mentioned, a packed show today. Colin Ward-Henninger of CBS Sports is going to be with us in the 5 o'clock hour as the NBA Finals finally get underway tonight. It seems like it's been a long wait for Game 1 of the Finals. Toronto hosting Golden State, the Warriors' one-point underdog on the road tonight. Carroll native Nick Nurse at the helm, the Raptors appearing in their first ever NBA Finals. Rob Raines, longtime St. Louis sports writer, is with us in the 6 o'clock hour as we'll not only discuss a little bit of Cardinals baseball, but primarily last night's Game 2 victory by the St. Louis Blues. You always remember your first Stanley Cup victory, or so I've been told, and the Blues are no longer saddled with an 0-12 record in Stanley Cup Finals action. It's now 1-12, and judging by the reaction of the fan base last night, you would have thought that that was a Game 7 clinching victory. But I get it. I totally understand. When you haven't won one before,
it's never happened.
It's never happened. And celebrate all you want because you had to play two games in Boston. Worst case scenario, didn't happen. You're coming home, as we discussed last night. You're heading to Game 3 on Saturday in St. Louis with an even series. And now suddenly, it seems like it's anybody's cup.
And I think that's sort of where the excitement was coming from with the St. Louis Blues fans. We talked yesterday about, at least for myself, I was a little bit nervous the way that the periods 2 and 3 went in Game 1, that Boston was just the better team and they were going to skate right by the St. Louis Blues. Sonny in Iowa City called in and thought the same thing. That was a concern that they might steamroll, the Bruins might steamroll the Blues the rest of the series. And the Blues controlled that game from the outset and got to their game. They were hard on the forecheck. They controlled the pace of the play. They were awesome defensively. Jordan Binnington gave up a couple of bad goals in the first period, but rebounded after that. And they didn't let the fact that they couldn't get it done in regulation get them down, and they got it done in overtime. They dominated that overtime period. So now all of a sudden, the Blues know that they can skate with the Boston Bruins, and I think this could be one of those classic series. It looks like it.
Was the officiating better last night since the Blues won the game? Be honest. Was it troubling when they were down, and then was it better when they were winning?
Well, the first goal that the Bruins scored, they had six guys on the ice, and I'm glad that the
you have to check the rule book on that one.
I'm glad that that didn't come back to bite them, but it's just amazing how the hockey gods have a way of working out. Like I said, Game 1, the Bruins were the better team. I am not disputing that. The officiating was pretty rough, although I sort of come to expect that now from the NHL, so it's sort of I'm grading on a curve. So if they are 57%, if they're in the F range, I'll bounce them up to like a 72 based on my expectations for the officiating crew.
We have start times for some Iowa football games that were announced earlier today, including the Iowa-Iowa State game on September 14th at Jack Trice Stadium. And that led to a little bit of angst from Iowa and Iowa State fans, especially Cyclone fans who are hoping that College Game Day, ESPN's seminal program, will be on campus. FS1 will be broadcasting that game, a 3 o'clock kickoff, September 14th. We'll get to more on that in just a second because that doesn't necessarily completely cancel out the opportunity for game day to be there. Iowa will kick off under the lights at Kinnick Stadium August 31st against Miami. That would be Miami University out of the Mid-American Conference, FS1 for that game as well. A 6:30 start time, September 7th, week two of the season. The Hawkeyes play Rutgers. That's an 11 o'clock start time. We mentioned Iowa State. Still don't know about Middle Tennessee State. My best guess on that one is going to be an 11 a.m. kickoff. We know that the October 5th game in Ann Arbor is an 11 a.m. kickoff. No start time for the October 12th Penn State game, and my guess would be if there's going to be another night game on the schedule under the lights at Kinnick Stadium, it's probably going to be that October 12th contest. Homecoming against Purdue, we'd known that was an 11 o'clock kickoff for quite some time. It'll be back-to-back 11 a.m. kickoffs because the next week they go to Northwestern for an 11 a.m. kickoff. We've got the early betting lines on some of these games, by the way, too. We'll get to those coming up here in the first hour of the program. More on Iowa football to come, but first let's go to the phone lines. Sonny in Iowa City wants to weigh in on the Stanley Cup Finals and last night's Game 2 action in Boston. Sonny, what's up?
Who doesn't love an early Hawkeye betting line? That's like Christmas, right?
Smoking Dave Koken. If you listen to the gym class, he doesn't like betting on games that he doesn't have all the information for.
Right, okay. I think that hockey last night was basically how Alex described it. I mean, you got to see that St. Louis was not a completely overmatched team like a lot of people, including myself, thought might very well
be. I was worried, Sonny. I have to be honest. I was worried.
Yeah, I think that you had a right to be worried. I think that any reasonable observer of hockey would have seen period two and period three of game one and thought, holy smokes, if this is in fact a realistic view of what these two teams are, then this is going to be a four-game series. And St. Louis absolutely showed that that was not the case. Now, admittedly, I think both teams are riding very good goaltenders. St. Louis let a couple soft goals in early. That first goal was really scary because that was still at that time when you were worried that they were going to get blown out. And if you're playing a team that might be overmatching you and your goaltender is letting in soft goals, then, yeah, forget about it. But they really did turn around, and they really did look good. I don't think that they are, like, a better team than Boston, but I definitely think that they have a possibility to win this series if things bounce their way. And in hockey, that definitely can happen. It is not a sport where the dominant team always wins. You can definitely beat a better team in hockey. With basketball, I think that a lot of people are excited about Toronto, and I don't think it's going to be close. I think that Golden State is going to win this thing walking away. I will say that it will happen in five games. I'll give Toronto one somehow. But I don't think it's going to be close. I think that people are going to realize that this is, in fact, the dynasty of this generation, and they are far and far away better.
Thanks for the insight, Sonny. It's a good reminder to, for me at least, to bring up the poll question today at KGYMRadio.com. How will the NBA Finals end? You give several options from sweeps to seven-game victories for either team and then 5 to 6 games in between. Did you notice, listening to ESPN today, that there were a lot of people giving love to Toronto and trying to be...
Value pick.
Taking a shot in the dark, I think, because I think everybody wants to do what Sonny just did there with Golden State and say, hey, this is a dynasty.
Right.
There's no way that Toronto... Now, I can't remember who the guest was on the Will Cain show earlier today, but he referenced the fact that Toronto sort of sandbagged a little bit during the regular season, especially managing Kawhi Leonard's workload, and that maybe they're a little bit better than people give them credit for. But I see no reason at this point to bet against Golden State, even without Kevin Durant. Again, they've won titles without Kevin Durant before, and it sounds like he's out for at least the first two games of the series. There's some doubt whether he'll be available for game two now also.
Now, for our poll question, I'm sure one of the options is Toronto in four. Now, yes. If you want to put your money where your mouth is, apparently you can get, correct me if I have this wrong, I'm not exactly the biggest betting expert, but plus 2,500?
Yeah, that's if you put $100 down, you'd win $2,500.
So if you choose that,
I don't
I'm just
see
letting
the value
you know.
There.
I don't either. It's not going to happen. It seems impossible. But
I could have had the Boston Bruins after the first round. I could have gotten the Bruins at plus 600 to win the cup. I think they had one of the better odds there at that point. And back to the original mention that anything can happen in hockey, that was pretty much proven when all of the top seeds were ousted. Yeah. In the first round, which opened things up for the remainder of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it's led us to Boston and St. Louis, and last night, St. Louis evens the series.
Badger Mike on the Hurtin and Stocker text line, bringing up a point that I've brought up several times. He still doesn't understand what a hockey penalty is, and Mike, I'm here to tell you, I've been watching hockey for a long, 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 long time, and I'm right there with you. It's tough. When you're watching the game and a soft penalty happens and it changes the course of a game, but it's unfortunately, as a hockey fan, we just sort of have to accept that. The teams know it. The teams know that you're going to get bad calls against you. The game's moving so fast, it's difficult for the officials on the ice to make the call. I can't imagine how difficult it is. And as long as it doesn't completely affect the outcome of a game or decide a game, like it has a couple of times, I think a lot of hockey fans just sort of accept it.
If you are a fan of college softball, you should be near a TV, happen to be near a TV. I would suggest turning on ESPN at the moment because Minnesota is giving UCLA a run for its money in Oklahoma City at the College Softball World Series. Worth noting here locally because Van Horn product Amber Pfizer is on the mound for the Gophers. You may recall that there was some consternation over how Pfizer, who earlier this week was named a first-team All-American, wound up at another Big Ten school instead of the one about 30, 40 miles down the road. But to each their own on that. Pfizer, the All-American, keeping the Gophers within striking distance today. Kyle reached out to the sports information director who's with the Minnesota softball program, and we did not hear back from them. I wanted to try to get her on the program, and I thought with a 1:30 start time that things would work out well if they were willing to bring her on the air today, but it doesn't sound like we're going to get a positive response on that, so maybe we catch up with her after the College Softball World Series is over, but always nice to see local talents excelling, even when they're not doing it at home. 319-366-1600, by the way, is the Hurtin and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use that number to reach out to us here in the KGYM studios. Next Thursday, we will be at Mulligan's for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. We invite you to be back there with us. Happy Hour starts every day at 3, runs until 6, and next Thursday and every Thursday night at Mulligan's. From 6 until close, it's half-price wings. Lots more to get to coming up on the program. We mentioned the early betting lines for some of the Iowa football games are out as well. Some of those are intriguing, and I know Dave Koken doesn't like to wager on games months in advance because you don't know who's going to be injured, who's going to be playing, but a lot of other folks out there are interested in some of those games, including the Iowa-Iowa State game, which at this point is pretty much a toss-up. But one other start time I neglected to mention when running down the times that were announced today, Iowa and Nebraska, a 1:30 kickoff.
It's interesting to see all these new time slots with the Fox deal. Do you like these?
And I know I'll get an amen from if we crack the door here and wait for the delay to make its way down the hall, I will get an amen from Scott Unash. But I am old school. I think the best time for a kickoff is 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And those I've gone the way of the dodo bird now,
right,
due to every game being on TV. The Fox start times have taken some getting used to.
They're very different.
They are very different. And kudos to the Big Ten for hopping into bed with Fox, and that's part of the reason why Iowa and every other member gets checked for about $50 million every year. But 1:30 on the Big Ten Network for the Iowa-Nebraska game, and that normally is not the case with that contest, but I think the BTN exercised its option to pick that contest up. So Iowa travels to Lincoln for a 1:30 kickoff November 29th. And we'll see what the Huskers have in store. They are the chic pick to win the Big Ten West this year. The preseason magazines. It used to be you had to wait until the first couple weeks in June for these magazines to start making their way to the stands. But the college previews are already for public consumption. I was at the store the other night and saw at least one of them on the sales rack. It may have been Lindy's. I can't remember which one. I didn't even stop to bother to browse through it at all. But if you're looking for your college football fix, I'm giving you just a little bit of a taste here on May 30th.
Well, I have one for you. Did you see the tweet that came from Lincoln, Nebraska today?
Throwback Thursday.
Robin Washit of HuskerOnline.com, of the Rivals Network. There was some sort of event in Lincoln today where Fred Hoiberg and Scott Frost were both available to the media. And apparently, Fred Hoiberg was talking to a group of reporters, and all of a sudden, several reporters left Hoiberg while he was mid-sentence. And Hoiberg stopped everyone and said, "Hey," and I quote, "What? Did Scott just walk off the bus?" And that's apparently exactly what happened.
That is their
version.
Football
school.
Yeah, it is a football school until Fred Hoiberg proves otherwise. That is their version of the iClub event, I believe. They call theirs the Big Red Blitz. And it kicked off today, you know, with the Huskers putting their coaches out in front of everybody. And Scott Frost is still a rock star in Lincoln, despite the fact that the results weren't quite there in year number one. I don't know how you go from four wins to there. I've seen them as a national playoff contender. Various outlets have put Nebraska among the four playoff teams. That's like the equivalent of clickbait.
I'm not ready to jump on the Texas bandwagon as far as the college football playoff like a lot of people, and they're head and shoulders above where Nebraska is right now. Can they just take steps? Can we get to the point where we stop skipping steps with teams? I get it. I get the hype. They have a good quarterback. He's young. He looked really good his freshman year. The roster's improving. But it's not. It is absolutely nowhere near ready to contend for a college football playoff spot.
I don't think so either, but I think there's questions as to how strong the Big Ten West is going to be this year. It does seem to be sort of wide open. I'm not ready to make that gigantic leap from, hey, the Big Ten West is wide open, to putting Nebraska in the top four in late November, but maybe that's why the Big Ten Network picked that game up for a 1:30 kickoff, because they're thinking that Iowa's going to have a chance to play spoiler, even though the last several years, Iowa has been in the driver's seat in that contest, and Nebraska has been the one trying and being unsuccessful at playing the role of spoiler.
They haven't won a conference championship in now over 20 years.
Yes, and none as a member of the Big Ten, even though they were going to come in and completely dominate the Big Ten.
I was told that by
drunk
Nebraska fans at Kauffman Stadium one time.
Depending on what sport you're in, I'm thinking baseball here, it's because the Big Ten is a lesser conference than the Big 12 was. I don't follow the logic on that, but that was the talking point a couple weeks ago. And then, of course, Nebraska makes it to the Big Ten championship game in Omaha and is in the regionals. And so now suddenly everything is once again copacetic with Darren Erstad and the Huskers. But you explain that logic to me. They're struggling in the Big Ten because it's not as good of a conference as the Big 12.
Huh?
Well, you would think if the program was good in the Big 12 and they came to a weaker conference that they would dominate.
So the theory
instead
is
of, you know,
they're playing down to their competition? Are you really?
The excuse is that it's the bad weather and having to play the entire first month on the road and things of that nature. Well,
what about your first-year head coach saying that Iowa was bigger and stronger than they were? Do you not get? I know it was a backhand
compliment. Oh, I was still talking baseball there.
Oh, baseball.
Yeah. That was a reference to Nebraska baseball. But Scott Frost's comments with regard to Iowa and Nebraska, which is a callback to the old athletic director making an we have to evaluate where Iowa is at and where we're at the end of the day. I think that was the line that ultimately led to the sacking of
what's Sean Eichhorst
Mike Riley
doing these days?
My guess is he works for a consulting firm somewhere. Either that or some school decided.
Hopefully not like a coaching search firm, because he wasn't very good at that.
Well, maybe he helped get Art Briles to that high school in Texas.
I just found out he was hired by the University of Texas.
Really?
He was.
Well?
He's the executive senior associate athletic director.
Anytime somebody is really bad at their job and somebody wants to recycle them, they just throw a bunch of titles in front of the guy's name and it makes him sound like he's successful and important. How many associate athletic directors responsible for this or that are out there in the world right now? What was the title again?
Executive Senior Associate.
Executive Senior Associate.
Athletic Director.
Athletic Director. If that's not Dwight
for
Schrute.
For Internal Affairs.
Okay, you left that part off. If that's not Dwight Schrute territory from The Office, I don't know what is. Assistant to the assistant. Executive. Give it to me one more time.
Executive Senior Associate Athletics Director for Internal Affairs.
Can you fit that on a business card?
Probably if you make the font really small.
That sounds to me like they wanted to give him a job and they offered him the ability to come up with his own title. We're going to give you a job. We feel sorry for you. He's probably got a buddy that works in the athletic department there. What would you like to go by? I got a few ideas. 319-366-1600. If you were watching the Cubs-Astros game last night, you undoubtedly saw the little girl that was hit by a foul ball off the bat of Albert Elmora. Sounds like she is doing okay for the most part, but there's once again an expanded call for more netting in Major League Baseball, and we'll get into that in a few minutes. Early lines for the Iowa football season on the way here in hour number one as well. A lot more ground to cover. Plus a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road, all here in the next 35 minutes. Don't go anywhere. Back with more after this. I said
we've got your game. We've all heard the joke, why do they call it golf? The answer, all the other four-letter words were taken. Hi, Dave Austed here. We hear those words when golfers airmail the green or duck hook the ball into the water. It could be a swing thing, or it could be your clubs aren't fit for your size, swing, and ability. Custom fitting isn't just for the pros. In fact, custom fitting golf clubs will actually benefit the amateur golfer more. So take some advice from Austed's, a Golf Digest Top 100 fitter, and book an appointment to get fit today. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
At Menards, nobody beats our prices, so you can save big money on updating your home's exterior. Enjoy the view with the Lakeview Full View Storm Door from Larson. The full glass design allows maximum natural light into your home, featuring an interchangeable screen so you can quickly change from glass to screen. On sale for $199.99. Menards' Race to Saving sale prices are good through June 2nd. Plus, a Menards gift card is perfect for Father's Day.
Save big money at Menards.
The family kickoff to summer is back this Saturday. Tanager Place Summerfest. All the fun is from 3 to 6 with over 50 free activities, including the General Mills Make Your Own Cereal Tent, Eddie's Rod and Custom Car and Motorcycle Show, Craft Tent and STEM activities, and so much more. Bring your family to Tanager Place Summerfest this Saturday at the Collins Aerospace Sports Complex on Collins Road across from Norridge Park. Generously sponsored by General Mills, Collins Aerospace, Master Tool and Manufacturing, and Diamond V. Details at tanagerplace.org.
Did you know that motorcycles are vehicles with the same rights and privileges as any other motor vehicle on the roadway? Safe riding practices and cooperation from all road users will help reduce the number of fatalities and injuries on our nation's highways. Because motorcycles are smaller than most vehicles, they can be difficult to see. Their size can also cause other drivers to misjudge their speed and distance. All motorists are reminded to safely share the road and to be extra alert. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at lindertire.com.
KGYM and Smart FM, a perfect combination. Like a perfectly turned double play, a perfectly timed pass, a perfect handoff, a perfect assist, a perfect drive, a perfect shot from beyond the three-point line, the perfect song for your celebration, the perfect band that brings back great memories. Perfect sports coverage on KGYM and Smart Rock on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
The Golden State Warriors return to the finals for the fifth straight year, while the Raptors are making their first ever appearance. Game one.
Tonight, starting at 7 o'clock here on the gym, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM. 429, welcome back in, 1600 AM, Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio. 106.3 and 107.5 as well, the South and North gyms in Iowa City and Cedar Rapids, respectively. Anybody out there go to see Wright Thompson last night? Would love to hear how that discussion went. You can hit us up on the text line, 319-366-1600. I was lamenting the fact that could not get down there, and as it worked out, probably for the better with dealing with the severe weather that was in the area last night. Got home just as the sirens were going off here in Cedar Rapids, and I know there were some people who were upset anytime that happens, because there are certain protocols that are in place on when the sirens go off. And luckily, we didn't have a terrible bout of severe weather here in Cedar Rapids last night, but that couldn't be said for elsewhere here in the listening area. So hopefully you were not affected, although we are in the heart of severe weather season. And just a reminder, we'll always do our best if it hits while we're on the air to keep you updated.
And then I was driving home last night listening to the NHL coverage, and our friend Jackson Parker, who works for us here at KZIA, hopped on KGYM and let everybody know. So we always have someone in the building in case of severe weather.
Jackson has a nickname, and I don't think you're aware of this because
I am not.
You were not at the mandatory meeting last weekend, but he calls himself Poor Kyle. Is that what? Was it?
Discount Kyle.
Discount Kyle. God, I can't believe I screwed that up. Yes. So he introduced himself as Discount Kyle. So from here on out, please do not refer to him as Jackson. He is Discount Kyle. Because when Kyle is not here, he occasionally fills in as our producer. And this is not a nickname that we bestowed upon him. He gave himself a nickname. And unlike George Costanza on Seinfeld, I'm going to allow this one.
That one's so good that we have to keep it.
Coco, if you haven't seen the episode of Seinfeld, George wanted to be T-Bone, and his coworkers decided that he was Coco. 366-1600. We don't need Discount Kyle. We have actual Kyle at 431 in the studio with us. Our producer, Kyle Mann, set to bring you a big board update presented by Alexander Lumber. You can find them right now at their temporary location of 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City.
The Iowa Hawkeyes will begin the 2019 season under the lights, kicking off against Miami of Ohio at 6:30 in Iowa City. They'll host Rutgers at 11 the following week and then travel to Ames for a 3 o'clock kickoff, and all three of those games are set to air on FS1. Michigan, Purdue, and Northwestern will each be 11 o'clock kicks, and then Nebraska date to finish the season will kick at 1:30 on BTN. The basketball team announced that Ryan Kriener is going to be traveling with the USA East Coast team. He'll play three friendlies in Athens, Greece in mid-June. The Colonels dropped game one of a doubleheader yesterday, 9-4, and then led in game two when it was suspended by rain, but not rained out. Instead of the Colonels' fourth rain out in the last 10 days, they're going to pick that game up today and make another run at a doubleheader. The suspended game will continue with the Colonels leading 1-0 in the bottom of the first, with that lone run coming from a Wander Javier single. That's his first RBI with the team. Benton Community grad Amber Pfizer has become a first-team All-American for the Minnesota softball team and started for the Gophers today in the school's first-ever Women's College World Series. Things didn't go great, though, and it looks like UCLA is going to finish off a 7-2 victory. This is a double elimination tournament, however. Tonight after the show, it's game one of the NBA Finals between the Golden State Warriors and the Iowa native Nick Nurse-led Toronto Raptors. You can hear that on our South and Main gyms, or you can hear the Twins and Rays on the North gym.
How do the finals wind up? That's our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. You can stop by and log your vote, courtesy of our friends at Emil's Hideaway. And yeah, things got interesting in that Minnesota-UCLA game. It was 3-0, and then Minnesota scored a couple runs in the sixth inning to make it 3-2. And then UCLA said, hold on just a second. Now it's 7-2 as they look toward finishing that contest up. As Kyle noted, double elimination. I covered the College Softball World Series the last time that Iowa was in it. And that is a fun, I'm not a huge softball guy. And that was a fun, fun team. Gail Blevins was the coach. And Oklahoma City is, I think I've said this on the air before, if you've never been there, I find Oklahoma City to be a really great, a mid-sized American city. You can have a good time in Oklahoma City.
How does it compare to, I'm not talking about just the vibe, but size-wise to Des Moines? Is it a little bit bigger?
I believe so. And I keep in mind I was in very specific parts of Oklahoma City, but
I've heard
good
things.
This was many, many years ago. I think it's been almost two decades since Iowa last made an appearance in the College Softball World Series. I'm going to have to check the records on this. The last time that Nebraska played for a football championship, or the last time Iowa was in the College Softball World Series, which one happened more recently? 366-1600. I don't know why I throw so much shade at the folks in Nebraska. This seems like low-hanging fruit here in eastern Iowa, and sometimes you're hungry. Healthy snack. Fruit is a healthy snack. Last night, the Cubs-Astros game. Want to address this here because it's a topic that's getting a lot of discussion nationally, but many of you probably saw Albert Elmora Jr.'s foul ball that went into the stands and hit a little girl. I believe it was a four-year-old girl. It was not a pretty sight. He was distraught, as I think a lot of people would be. If you talk to anybody who plays the game, one of their greatest fears is having that happen. It's bad enough that you injure anybody that's sitting in the stands, but when it's a small child, it certainly makes things worse. Now, the reports are that the child is not in severe critical condition or anything like that, but they did have to take the little girl to the hospital. And this has reignited, I don't know, you can't really even call it a debate, but it's brought up the discussion to the forefront once again of why isn't there more netting at Major League Baseball games? And if you recall, I think it was about 4 years ago when we last had this discussion, and Major League Baseball did what it does best, and that was to punt on the issue, and they put it up to the individual teams. They made a suggestion, and it was up to the teams as to whether or not they wanted to implement it. And I think it took several years, but I think all of the franchises are now on board. And now there's a question of whether or not they can or should go further down the lines with expanded netting. I'm indifferent on this. I don't feel strongly one way or the other, but there's a lot of people today who are outraged that there isn't more netting at Major League Baseball games. And I think, you know what you're signing up for when you sit in those seats. And yes, a ball's coming off the bat at 100 miles an hour, and my personal preference is to sit behind the net when I go to a game, and when I have my son with me, we're always behind the net. That doesn't make me a better parent than you if you are comfortable with your kids with outside the confines of the protected netting, then that's fine. That's your call. But I just...
To me, it seems like if it doesn't impede too much of those people's view, if it doesn't take away from their viewing experience inside the ballpark, I'm just like, why not put it up? Why not make it so that nobody is getting hurt? They did this in the NHL years ago where a fan in Nashville was killed by a puck. And now they have the netting around around the ice behind both goals. It just seems like in 2019, we know where this is going. Eventually, every ballpark will probably have netting all the way down the line, does it not?
Chris Bryant has come out strongly in favor of expanding the netting. I think he has suggested from foul pole to foul pole. And look, you get used to it. I know there are some people out there that were not happy when the Cedar Rapids Colonels extended their netting past the dugouts. Now, it used to be the netting ended right at the edge of the dugout, the home and visiting dugouts, and then they extended it to the entire length of the dugout. And, well, my kid likes to go to the game and likes to get foul balls or likes to get it does close you off or limit your ability to access the players. I don't think that's necessarily a huge deal. It's a safety issue, and now more than ever in 2019, I think we can all agree that we have more distractions than we've ever had before. I get distracted. I am just as guilty as anybody. I go to a Major League Baseball game or a minor league baseball game. I'm looking all over the place.
Right.
I gotta find, how fast was that? Well, I'm looking for the radar gun reading on the scoreboard, or I'm being distracted if I've got my son with me, or maybe I'm with some friends at the ballpark. I do happen to have a couple friends still. Could probably count them on one hand at this point in my life, but it's easy to be distracted. And that being said, I'm not about shaming people that go to games and bury their head in their phones. I've never understood that. These people that are standing on their feet, taking a video of whatever's going on in front of them. How often do you go back and look at that video? And spending the entire game on Twitter, tweeting it as if you were sitting at home on the couch watching it. Me personally, probably not shelling out the money for a four-year-old for that type of seat to begin with, because I'm a cheapskate, but just extend the nets, and everybody will get used to it. I've seen, and I wish I could give credit to whoever came up with some of these examples, but you used to be able to smoke on airplanes. They got rid of smoking on airplanes, and people got used to it. You used to, a decade ago, be able to smoke in bars and restaurants in the state of Iowa. They got rid of it. And guess what? Are used to it. You get used to change. I know people don't like change, but you get used to it. That being said, and I've thought about this all day long, one kid gets hit by a foul ball, and everybody rushes to solve the problem. Well, expand the nets. And yet, when other things happen in this country to children, and we look for excuses to not have to deal with the problem. I'm alluding to something very specific here, and I don't want to go down that rabbit hole right now, but I think most people can probably understand where I'm going here. But that's the part that bothers me, because not that I'm happy the little girl got hit last night, but I'm not saying that by any stretch of the imagination, but this happens to one kid and there's this reaction and everybody's on board with it. And yet other things happen. I'm getting derailed. I'm getting outside the confines of sports, and nobody wants to go down that road. But you know what I'm referring to.
I know exactly what you're referring to.
And that bugs the hell out of me.
You talking about priorities?
I woke up this morning and I think about
these things all the time.
I saw on Twitter, the stick to sports crowd is going to really hate this. One of the first things I saw on Twitter, I think it was a TV station in Houston that had this story about a family who had this little boy. And I'll tell you what, if you don't have kids, you may not understand this. And I used to be in that role myself. And then I became a father, and suddenly it just changes your perspective on everything. But this family has a son who has trouble getting around, and he needs a walker to get around, a special walker to get around. And they didn't know whether their insurance was going to cover the walker or not. So they went to Home Depot, and the folks there at Home Depot helped them build a walker. And the story, the TV station tweeted out, this is great. This is awesome. I can't remember the exact verbiage that they used. And I
saw this.
I retweeted and I said, you know what? It's really not. It's not cool that this kid needs this to get around. And the insurance company's like, not going to pay for it. Like, so that's where I go. And I'm getting distracted here again because it's a sports talk show. And anytime you don't talk about sports, heaven forbid. We brought up The Bachelor. I say we a lot of times in this program. I dig my own grave here. I get it. I'm the one who runs my mouth and gets into trouble from time to time. I brought up The Bachelorette last night, and people got upset on the text line. The stick to sports crowd. Never mind the fact that 90% of the program last night was sports. That poor soul tuned in at the exact inopportune time for them because they heard me talking about The Bachelorette and what a terrible season it's been. And we watched it. My wife and I got caught up on another episode last night, and it's not getting any better. It's reality TV at its absolute worst.
But you can't take your eyes off of it.
I could have been watching the game two between the Bruins and the Blues last night, and in between severe weather coverage and getting caught up on The Bachelorette, I had to take my highlights of the Stanley Cup Finals where I could get them. Tuukka Rask, I was having a discussion with somebody else today, and I was discussing the excitement level of the Blues fans after winning a game last night in the series, and the response of the person that I was talking to was, well, they better enjoy it now because Tuukka Rask. And no, the Blackhawks beat him. He's not invincible.
If you get pressure on him and constant zone time, you can score goals on anybody. And that's what both of these teams have shown so far in this series.
I'm saving myself here because I'm trying to get back onto track after going off on a little bit of a rant there and expand the nets. Put the nets up. You'll get used to it. And if you want a foul ball or if you want a better chance at a foul ball, then get a ticket in the upper tank, the 200, 300 level. They're cheaper up there anyway. And sometimes the view is better. But we've talked now about the game of baseball and how it's evolved and how it's changed. And pitchers are throwing harder, but hitters, the ball is coming off the bat harder and faster. And I don't think I could react in time to that particular foul ball last night.
100 miles an hour?
Now, balls going at that angle and that velocity, relatively rare, but do you want to take that chance? I mean, to me, it seems like a relatively simple fix. But again, people out there value that experience. There are people that pay good money for those seats to not have an quote-unquote obstructed view. Although, I've never gone to a game and been bothered by a net before. You can see through the net. Your eyes adjust. It's not that big of a deal.
The only possible issues, like you said, would be you couldn't catch a foul ball if you're sitting in those seats, or you couldn't be thrown a foul ball because the net's in the way. And it would make it much more difficult to, interact with the players beforehand, because people go down and they try to get autographs, they try to get pictures with the players. I think both of those issues are a little bit outweighed by making sure people don't die at baseball games. That's just my opinion.
I agree. And I do think that baseball and sports in general, but baseball has a problem. These guys make millions of dollars and they want to interact with the fans as little as possible.
They
and
do.
That's a discussion for another time. But I don't think that's a reason not to put up any more protective netting.
No,
I really don't. Now, we've got some people weighing in on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line wondering about the responsibility of the parents here. Okay, again, personally, I would not feel comfortable sitting there in those seats with my son. And there's no way that I would have my son in those seats. But it's my choice as a parent whether or not to put my son in that situation. I'll tell you, this past weekend, I took him to a minor league baseball game at a ballpark, and we were way down the third baseline, way in foul territory, and he was running toward a playset, because every ballpark has to have a playset now, because kids just, they don't want to watch baseball. I get it. He's going to be 3 in July, and he's tearing off for this playset, and there was a foul ball. It was a pop-up, but I wasn't really paying any attention, and I heard somebody yell, "Heads up," and the ball bounced about 15, 20 feet away from him. And my life flashed before my eyes there momentarily. And that just happened to be it was in the wrong spot at the wrong time. I didn't willingly put him in a position where you're staring down the barrel of 100-mile-an-hour screaming line drive, nor would I. But again, I'm not the parent in this particular situation. I'm not about to blame the parents for, would it be any different if it was a 45-year-old person who had their teeth knocked out by a screaming line drive? Would we have any less sympathy? We would. I do know the answer to that. We would. But that's another story for another time, I guess. Let's go to the phone lines. And Sid in Albernett. Sid, what's up?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up?
I totally agree with everything that you said this afternoon. And the only other thing I would like to add to this, I've been too many ball games, too off now at the Colonels. And I've also been to major league ballparks here recently, but I've also seen a lot of it on TV, and not meaning to put a dumpster on the parents. On the other hand, I sit there and I watch all the cell phones and all the smartphones. If you're out there with a 5 and under in particular child, I think it is your responsibility. At least keep an eye on them. And, you know, I think maybe sometimes as far as young people, it would go a long way to at least pay attention to what's going on. And that's all I've got to say.
Sid, appreciate the thoughts on this tonight. And I don't think age has much to do with it, because going out, any athletic event, it's a social activity. You're not going to sit there and just be completely dialed in on the game. Most of us go to games with other people, and you're talking to high school friends or college friends or family members or whatever, and you're getting caught up.
Especially baseball.
Especially baseball games, because there's so much time in between pitches. But I'm not expecting everybody to go to the ballpark and dial in on the action from start to finish. It is incumbent, I think, on people to understand and be cognizant of their surroundings and where they're at. And if you're shocked by a ball going into the crowd at a baseball game, you shouldn't be. And there are some people that was their reaction last night, which I didn't understand that at all. I mentioned not having my son. The other time that I prefer not to be beyond the net is if I am imbibing in an alcoholic beverage or 6 or 7, because your reaction time is, look, even stone cold sober, you're not reacting to that particular line drive last night, but your reaction time is so dulled when you're drinking alcohol or any type of beer or cocktail that I made an exception one time. I had front row seats by the Cubs bullpen. That was back before they did the renovations at Wrigley. And I was best buddies with Carlos Marmol by the third or fourth inning. He's a funny dude. I never used to like him, and then he was entertaining sitting there throughout the course of the game. Let's go back to the phone lines, 366 1600. Nick in North Liberty. What's up, Nick?
Hey, how's it going? Just wanted to weigh in on the talk right now. Caught the very tail end of some of the stuff you were saying, but I was just thinking about it, and, you know, yes, it's an absolutely terrible situation, not to take anything away from that, but if I was this little girl's dad or guardian or whoever she was with, I would make sure that I paid attention to every single pitch sitting that close to the game. You know, as you just said, you know, it's not possible to be dialed in for, you know, all 4 hours of the game, but when you're sitting that close, you almost have to be, whether you're a five-year-old or a 55-year-old. And so, yeah, I feel absolutely terrible for that girl and her family. And, you know, the reaction by Al Mora Jr. was incredible. You know, you don't see that every day. I just hope that something good comes of it, in that Major League Baseball finally wakes up and, you know, extends netting, much like hockey did, you know, 15 years ago or whatever.
Appreciate the phone call, Nick. And again, the last time this came up, I think, was 4 years ago. And what baseball did was said, well, it's up to the individual teams. Here's our suggestion, and it's up to the teams, because they didn't want to be the bad guy.
Right.
They wanted the teams to have to bear the brunt of any fan frustration. And I know what the response would be, because I saw this firsthand when the Colonels did it, and most minor league teams went so far as to expand the netting. You always have people that want that experience of being able to have a player toss him a foul ball over the dugout railing or something like that. But it's such an easy solution here. It's really twofold. One, don't put yourself in that situation. Choose to sit behind a net somewhere if you can. And B, teams could expand the netting. And I think the easiest one here is to expand the netting. I don't think anybody really loses if that happens. But you'll have some people that are upset. And again, people were upset about losing the ability to smoke in restaurants and bars. And you eventually get used to it. And now you just stand outside the door and blow smoke in everybody's face when we walk in and walk out. And I say that as somebody who used to smoke. I never did that. But you get used to change. You may not like it, but over the course of time, you don't even realize that you forget about the way that things used to be.
And for teams, what's the easier option? Are you going to ID everyone who's sitting down by that part of the field and exclude people who are 14 and younger from those seats, or are you going to put up netting? Seems like a pretty easy decision for these teams.
I hate to say we're going to squeeze in Cage and Troy here, but we have about 40 seconds. Troy, what's on your mind? Go ahead, Troy.
Hey, guys. Okay, I understand people calling about what the parents should do at a game. There are so many things going on at a game, during a game, not even, you know. And, you know, that it was an accident. It happened, okay? This is like, what, we're going to keep every child from a game, every child from traveling around the country. What if the child drops something and the parent has to reach down and pick it up and the foul ball came off? You know, these things, you know, I don't blame these parents. Like you said, put the net up. These things happen. You cannot watch them, you know, things. So things just happen. I mean, I just read the other day, two kids graduated seniors. They went to Peru for a graduation gift. They got, well, they was riding motorcycle. They got hit by a bus. They both were killed. So what, the parents shouldn't let their kids go on vacation by themselves or whatever? That's a bunch of crap. Yeah, put the netting up. And that solved this or whatever. We have 162 games played a year, and these things happen, you know. I mean, accidents occur, and we can't keep our kids in the bubble. Maybe they want to keep their kid in the bubble. But overall, like you said, your kid, you was watching your kid. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time when that ball bounced from him, you know, so many feet away. Those things, you know, it happened. So that's what I just have to say. So the parents, yeah, they went to the game. The kid probably, you know, great experience, probably be there all the time. But, you know, that it happens, and, you know, and I'm sorry that it happened, you know, even for the baseball player and for the family, because it's a sad, you know, situation all around for everybody. So, thanks, guys.
Troy, appreciate the phone call. That'll do it for this particular segment, because we are up against a break. We will take a quick timeout. When we come back, You'll have an opportunity to take home a $30 gift card from Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road, but not until we get back after this.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind. In school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
You looking for a place to watch Game 1 of the NBA Finals tonight? How about Buffalo Wild Wings? This is Alex Kuhn with KGYM. And did you know about the ultimate nachos at Buffalo Wild Wings? They're new and improved, and they're just $5. Yep. Just $5 for a whole week. Now through June 2nd, 7 days of cheesy jalapeno heaven. So what are you waiting for? Come in and stuff your face with loaded nachos and repeat through June 2nd. That's how you do $5 nacho week at Buffalo Wild Wings. And you can wash one of those plates of nachos down with one of the dozens of ice cold beer options offered at B-Dubs. It's dine-in at participating locations only, and they're available for a limited time while supplies last.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
And welcome back in. Colin Ward Henninger is set to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Covers the NBA for CBS Sports. Game 1 of the finals on tap tonight between Toronto and Golden State. How about a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road? I promised we would do that here in hour number 1. Well, the time has come to pick up the phone and give Kyle, not discount Kyle, real Kyle, authentic Kyle, a call at 366-1600, caller number 6. Is going to take home that $30 gift card to Mulligan's. We'll be back at Mulligan's a week from today for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. Make sure you join us happy hour every day from 3 until 6, and then on Thursdays, like tonight, half-price wings from 6 until close. Game 1 of the NBA Finals, half-price wings, cold, delicious drinks. Sounds like a recipe for success to me. Speaking of the finals, we mentioned Colin Ward Henninger. He's going to be joining us next as we preview Golden State and Toronto. Back with our number 2 after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Beat. From Charlotte. Here's Dari Noka.
I really don't even know where to start. I guess I'll start with the serious. When are we going to start putting nets up all around Major League Baseball parks? Somebody told me today they already do it in Japan. How many people, let alone kids, like the little girl hit last night at Wrigley Field, have to get hit with laser beam foul balls and seriously injured before we just say what hockey already said? We're sorry it impacts your view, but deal with looking through a net. We don't need anybody getting killed at our games. It's time. All right, now the less serious, and there are some golden nuggets here, my friends. The NBA says it's discussing Drake's conduct at Raptors home games. First of all, you're telling me they don't realize how great it is that Drake is at these games? Look, to far too many Americans, Drake is all they know about the Raptors, even if he is in-game massaging the shoulders of Raptor head coach Nick Nurse. Speaking of massage, Astros shortstop Carlos Correa is going to miss 4 to 6 weeks with a cracked rib, sustained, he says, while getting a massage. That's his story, and he's sticking to it. Remember when Sammy Sosa blew out his back with a sneeze? Former Oriole Marty Cordova had to miss games once because he burned his skin when he fell asleep in a tanning bed. Or Glenn Allen Hill, who dreamed he was being chased by spiders and when he woke up, ran into a wall and threw a glass table. Back to Correa. A massage? Or is there, dum-dum-dum, more to the story? Or was it Drake massaging Correa? I'm still not done. More fun in 60 seconds.
When it comes to the playoffs, coverage is everything. The same applies to the wireless game. With Straight Talk Wireless, you get full nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, but for up to 50% less than those big carriers charge for the exact same high-speed networks. It's like getting full-court coverage at half-court prices. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Pros know doing it right means buying in bulk to save time and save money, too. Lowe's does it right by stocking job lot quantities of fence pickets, posts, and concrete every day. And at 5% savings when you buy in bulk, save time by ordering ahead at lowesforpros.com. We offer job site delivery 7 days a week, so save even more time by having your order delivered. For the supplies you need to give your customers a fence they'll love, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. See Pro Desk for details, U.S. only.
More fun now. Did you see LeBron and Wade's kids are changing schools so they can play together in high school? It's true, and I'll save you the time here. Chris Bosh's oldest son is 7, I believe, so he's out this time. Speaking of LeBron, the NBA Finals start tonight. It'll be the first one in 9 years LeBron hasn't played in. You think he'll ever play in another one? Ponder that a bit. Hey, thanks for the material, everybody. With the ESPN Radio Sports Beat, I'm Dari Noka.
That Sports Beat was brought to you by CarePro Home Medical. Connect with CarePro for the medical products you need and the professional support you deserve. CarePROHealthServices.com.
Did you work out a little too hard? Or maybe overdo it with yard work? Whatever it was, you're feeling it today.
Ooh.
So let CarePro Home Medical help. CarePro Home Medical has something to soothe that soreness, including Biofreeze, ice packs, cold therapy wraps, and pain relief devices to get you back to feeling better. Even weekend warriors need a little help sometimes. Visit CarePro Home Medical in Cedar Rapids or Coralville and connect with people and answers you need.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that next job done. At AutoZone, we have the free services you need to do it right. Like our AutoZone Rewards program. Sign up is free, and you get a $20 reward every time you spend $20 or more 5 times. Looking to protect your engine and start that oil change? Get 5 quarts of Castrol GTX High Mileage Motor Oil and an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for just $26.99. With more than 5,600 locations nationwide, getting the job done just got easier. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to Sherwin-Williams.
So I can get 30% off paint?
Yes.
And 30% off stains?
You bet.
Party time!
Yeah!
Oh, party time, the color. I'd like 3 gallons in party time, please.
You got it.
Ask Sherwin-Williams May 17th through June 3rd and save 30% on paints and stains with sale prices starting at $26.94. Only at your local Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Welcome back in at 5:05, hour number 2 of 3, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio, as well as local programming such as this show and the Gym Class. If you missed Scott and Mark earlier today, they had a packed, packed program. You can download the podcast or check it out at your leisure at kgymradio.com. While you're there, make sure you vote in our poll question today. How do the NBA Finals finish up? Give you options anywhere from a 4-game sweep for both the Raptors and Warriors to the series going 7 games and everything in between. Poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. We'll have game one of the finals for you tonight between Toronto and Golden State right here on KGYM. And with us to preview the series, frequent guest of the program, Colin Ward-Henninger, covers the NBA for CBS Sports. Glad to have you back with us, Colin. I was reading your piece earlier today at CBS Sports about Golden State can sort of shed a narrative if it wins this series. The fact that everybody likes to look for excuses on how the Warriors have won all of these titles. If they can do this without Kevin Durant, if they can do this shorthanded, this could be a legacy-defining series for them.
Yeah, it really can. And some people are kind of confused by this because they didn't realize this narrative exists. And it is kind of silly. But the fact is, the Warriors have played a lot of teams over the years who have not had their superstars, dating back to their first championship when Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love were out for the finals, to Kawhi Leonard getting injured, to Chris Paul getting injured, to even last year's finals when LeBron comes out with a cast and says that he had a broken hand for three of the games. So this is kind of a thing in the Bay Area. They take offense to it when people say, the Warriors kind of got lucky. And so this is their chance with Kevin Durant possibly out for the series, with DeMarcus Cousins severely hindered with whatever he can give the team when he does come back. This is their chance to say, look, we've flipped the narrative on all that injury stuff. Now we're the ones who are shorthanded and we're still able to get it done.
I was one of those people that was very confused on the narrative, especially going back a couple of rounds when Kevin Durant got hurt and people are saying they just have absolutely no chance without Kevin Durant. Is it people just making excuses? Is that what you sort of chalk it up to? Because I just couldn't figure out where this was coming from.
It is. It's partially that Warriors distaste from people outside the Bay Area. Obviously, that mostly began when Kevin Durant got there. Then they can look back and say, well, you know, they would have lost to the Spurs with Kawhi. They would have lost to a healthy Cleveland team. Kyrie Irving demanded a trade, so Cleveland was, you know, diminished. So this is definitely a thing that's been floating around, and I don't subscribe to it. I get to watch this team on a pretty regular basis, and they're just tremendous in every way. And you don't go to five consecutive finals because of luck. It just doesn't happen. So hopefully that will be put to bed after this playoffs, win or lose for the Warriors.
Do we have any idea if and when we'll see Kevin Durant in this series? I know it sounds like game two is in doubt now as well.
Yeah, Steve Kerr said that it's not looking great for game two for the sole fact that Durant needs to practice with the team in order to be ready to play in an NBA Finals game with the team. And he's not sure that that's going to be able to happen while they're in Toronto. So they might be targeting game three now. Perhaps, you know, after game two, they'll get back to the Bay Area. Maybe he can go through a full practice and then they'll make that determination. But there is a lot of thought that possibly Durant will miss this entire series. And obviously that depends on how long it goes. Most people are expecting a long series. So maybe game six, game seven are in play, but it's clear that this injury was not something that he could bounce back from quickly. The fact that he just recently got back on the court, start shooting around, going through doing some individual work, it doesn't just come back like that. We have Rajah Bell on our network sometimes, and he says that he had a similar calf injury, and that when he got back, he came back in a playoff series, he said he was a shell of his former self. So this isn't something that you can just bounce back from and expect the same Kevin Durant to be out there.
I ask this question because I think back a couple of years when Steph Curry was playing with that MCL sprain or that partial MCL tear, but is there the sense that maybe they're being extra careful with Kevin Durant with the way that they've been playing without him?
I think the Warriors are generally careful with everyone. I don't think they've ever, as long as I can recall, really rushed anyone back. And that's a credit to their kind of wealth of talent that they have on their team. They feel that they can win with any sort of configuration of this roster. And obviously the numbers kind of speak for themselves when Steph plays and Durant is out. So they would never rush him back in any way. I think even if they get down two games to none or maybe even three games to none, I still don't think that changes. I think they're going to wait until Durant is healthy and he can play, no matter how much that pains them or how much it pains Durant.
How about the series from the perspective of the Raptors? Because there seems to me to be a lot of people who are picking the Raptors, maybe just to pick them to try to sound like they're the cool kids going against the grain and picking against Golden State. What kind of chance do the Raptors have, in your opinion?
I'm glad you said that, because I'm feeling that same way, but I'm so close to the Warriors that I thought maybe I've gotten a little brainwashed. But I think the Raptors are really good. I think they're a very good team, but I still don't think that they're on the level as the Warriors, even without Kevin Durant. Kawhi Leonard is obviously an incredible player, playing at, you know, an MVP level right now. But they've also faced LeBron James in the last two finals and beaten him in the last four finals, really, and they've only lost once. But I don't think the Raptors, as great of a defensive team as they are, have faced something like the Warriors. I think they're going to be taken by surprise, as pretty much everyone is in a playoff series, because of the focus and the difference between this Warriors team and what they saw during the regular season. And I also think that the Raptors just simply don't have the scoring to keep up with the Warriors. I remember Greg Popovich saying during a playoff series against the Warriors, he started Rudy Gay, and everyone was like, "Ah, why are you starting Rudy Gay?" And he says, "Well, we have to score. You can't beat the Warriors by just trying to contain them. You have to score with them." And that's something that the Raptors supporting cast, you know, Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam, these guys aren't proven that they can do it game in and game out. So I've got my doubts about the Raptors. I do think it'll be a good series, but I still think the Warriors will pull it out.
Up to this point in the playoffs, what has Kawhi Leonard showed the world about him as a player?
I think the biggest thing is he's taken this kind of, best two-way player moniker and kind of, you know, gotten rid of the two-way part. I think it's been kind of silly. If someone's the best two-way player, they're great at offense and they're great at defense. Doesn't that at least put them in the greatest player conversation? So what he's done with his game is just tremendous. Just from where he started in San Antonio, is kind of this defensive piece that they just kind of crafted out of nowhere. When they traded for him on draft night, you knew he was going to be something special, but I don't think anyone saw this coming. He got his finals MVP, and then he just continued to get better until now he's kind of this automatic offensive machine, and he plays a different style. The Warriors have noted that he isn't a typical natural scorer, that he plays at his own pace. He gets to his spots. He's so strong and so confident, and now he's an excellent three-point shooter. So, I mean, he's really got the entire package. And then on top of that, you add just this elite defensive ability where he's able to guard a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo and slow him down relatively. And, I mean, yeah, Kawhi's stock is definitely at an all-time high right now.
One of the storylines we haven't gotten to yet with this series is the addition for the Golden State Warriors of Boogie Cousins. Now, is there a little bit of a concern about his usage and his the possibility of ruining the flow of what the Warriors have right now?
Yeah, that is definitely there. And, you know, Steve Kerr would never say that outright, but he talked about how if this was the regular season, he would just take Cousins, start him, let him work through whatever he needed to work through until he got healthy. But this is the NBA Finals. They've had a good thing going with their kind of strange center monster of Jordan Bell, Kevon Looney, even a little Andrew Bogut every once in a while. And this is going to be an intense series. So DeMarcus Cousins hadn't even played in the playoffs until he got one game against the Clippers series, basically. So he is not going to be either conditioning-wise or perhaps intensity-wise ready for what the finals are going to bring. So I would expect him to get limited minutes, but this is Steve Kerr we're talking about. He started Damian Jones after being out for 5 months with an injury in the conference finals. So who knows what Kerr's thinking. He does say that he has a plan for how many minutes Cousins is going to play, but he won't reveal that to us just yet.
Colin Ward-Henninger covers the NBA for CBS Sports with us tonight on the cusp of Game 1 of the NBA Finals. We'll have it for you between Golden State and Toronto here. What's interesting here, these two teams, Colin, met only twice during the regular season, and as one of your colleagues wrote at CBS, both these are sort of meaningless. There really is no way to extrapolate regular season results into this series.
Yeah, it's really unique in that way, particularly as James Herbert wrote, coming off of all these Cleveland series where these teams know each other so well. And even in the Western Conference with the Warriors playing the Rockets and the Blazers, teams they've met in the playoffs year after year after year. So this is, it's interesting. It's exciting. The matchups are going to be just so fun to watch, as to who guards who, where do you put Kawhi, who guards Steph, what are you going to do with Iguodala and Draymond. I just think there's a lot of different kind of variables that we really have no idea because of, as you mentioned, those two regular season games. You might as well throw them out the window because the roster is entirely different and they had stars sitting out. So the Warriors, I know, are excited. They've all said it, to see a team other than Cleveland, and even starting this series on the road for the first time in the finals, it's given them kind of a new challenge, a new edge. And we know that the Warriors kind of need that challenge and feel that spark every once in a while to kind of get to their elite level.
You may not be aware of this, but Toronto is sort of Iowa's unofficial team in the NBA Finals. Nick Nurse played his college basketball at UNI. He's from the state. He's done a tremendous job in his first year there in Toronto. What have been your impressions of his abilities as an NBA coach?
Oh, he's been tremendous. I think even from day one when he got there, just saying that, Serge Ibaka, you're going to play center. And that's something that he didn't want to do his entire career. And he basically convinced him or explained to him that that would be best for the team. And then when they acquire Marc Gasol, telling Ibaka, look, you got to go to the bench. And he's been able to make adjustments, particularly in this playoff series with the way that they guarded Giannis Antetokounmpo, with their configurations, who's getting minutes, getting Fred VanVleet back in the lineup, even though he was struggling, and waiting for that breakout, which finally happened. I think he's just been really malleable in terms of his rotations and in terms of his strategy. And I think that's something that's going to need to continue against the Warriors, because they are the kings of making other teams adjust. So a lot of this series will depend on how he's able to make those adjustments.
Let's move on to some other NBA storylines. Let's start with the Los Angeles Lakers. Is there any resolution to this mess in sight after the Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka saga, the story that comes out on ESPN about the culture? It just seems like it's heading to a place, and there's no way to fix it at this point.
Yeah, you're almost at the point, really. Can it get any worse? And then it does. So I don't want to say it's reached, the worst point yet. As for right now, it just sounds like, from an outside perspective, that Rob Pelinka might be the fall guy that kind of has to go. They announced that they wouldn't be replacing Magic Johnson. So essentially, Pelinka's kind of in charge there, which is troublesome given the things that we've heard about him and the way he's kind of perceived around the league. So, in my opinion, you need to get someone in there to kind of be a steadying force. Jeannie Buss is apparently listening to Kurt Rambis and Phil Jackson and her kind of old trusted friends who aren't necessarily the most forward-thinking NBA people. So I think for the Lakers, this is a huge summer for them. They need to get somebody in free agency if they're going to be competitive. You saw what happened last season when LeBron James goes down. They've essentially got nothing around him, and they have a ton of players to replace. We're not sure how those young guys are going to develop. Brandon Ingram's got that really worrying blood clot situation, so hopefully that turns out well. But it's going to be a big summer for the Lakers, and so they need someone in charge who gets respect and can get the job done.
What about the summer for the Houston Rockets? How interesting could this be after Daryl Morey comes out yesterday, or reports come out that he is willing to trade anybody on the roster?
Yeah, honestly, it doesn't surprise me just based on the way that Morey operates. He's always been a big swing type of GM, and the way that the season ended with reports of Chris Paul and James Harden kind of little bickering back and forth, getting a little upset. I definitely wasn't surprised to hear that they would entertain the idea of trading Paul. Obviously, I don't think Harden's going to go anywhere, but then you got to look at their roster and think, who would want these guys, really? Chris Paul played a lot better in the playoffs this season, but he's got that massive contract. So I don't know how many teams are eager to say, hey, come aboard and we'll pay you $48 million when you're 38 years old. I don't know if that's an entertaining proposition. And even a guy like Capella is making a lot of money as well. And he was kind of nullified by the Warriors in the playoffs, which happens to a lot of guys, but he's not, at the top of his value right now. So I would expect them to look to make moves, but I don't know what they're going to be able to get for the guys that they have.
Colin, appreciate the perspective as always, and the official prediction from you is Warriors in how many games?
I said five. I told you I'm a little brainwashed by being around this Warriors team, but I really just think that they're going to be too much for the Raptors. But, of course, it wouldn't surprise me if it goes farther, but I'm going to stick with five games.
All right, Colin, we appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
And, again, game one coming up tonight.
I'm not brainwashed. Warriors in five.
The
gentleman's sweep.
Everybody that I heard bring up the series on ESPN today as a guest on any of the programs other than the Lebatard show, which doesn't really talk sports all that much, which is fantastic to me. They were going to get into, and I don't know whether they ever did or not, the Barstool Sports Association with the Boston Bruins, and then they had a content torpedo that was fired, and they had to get into a list of the rankings of every player in the finals. But Stephen A. Smith, Will Cain, the guests that were discussing the series earlier today, there seems to be a lot of people taking the Raptors and trying to justify it, somehow. I say this every year with Tom Izzo and Michigan State in the NCAA tournament. You can't pick against Izzo in March, and I don't know if you can pick against Golden State in the finals. I know they don't have Kevin Durant for the first couple games here. Toronto, I think, is a better team than people want to give the Raptors credit for, but this is still, in my opinion, a dynasty, and I don't know whether or not it's slowing down this year, coming to an end this year. I've got to go Golden State. I'm going to say Golden State in six, just to be, I feel like I'm swimming against the, swimming upstream here, going against the grain, whatever thing you want to throw out there, but Golden State in six. I think Toronto makes it interesting.
Kawhi Leonard is awesome. Don't get me wrong. He is an incredible basketball player. But what's behind him? Kyle Lowry, Pascal Siakam, Fred Van Vliet. Okay, that is not a team that I have any confidence in to withstand the runs, the barrage of threes that inevitably comes every single game for the Golden State Warriors. I just don't see the Raptors being able to score with them. I think that they'll be able to make life a little bit uncomfortable for Golden State, the Raptors. But I almost want to say it's going to be a sweep. But I'll give the Raptors a game because I'm feeling generous today.
Mike Halas of the Cedar Rapids Gazette had a terrific piece on Nick Nurse, who has joined us here on the program, and his ascension to the NBA Finals. It really is a feel-good story. And if you're not an NBA fan or you just want to be casually wrapped up in this series and you don't have a dog in the fight between Golden State and Toronto, why not adopt Toronto as the unofficial NBA team, at least for the NBA Finals, the unofficial NBA team of the state of Iowa? Carroll native and UNI grad Nick Nurse going up again. This is David.
We the North.
David versus Goliath stuff here. A guy from little old Iowa without paved roads and no almond milk, but well-informed caucus goers. A guy from little old Iowa going up against mighty Steve Kerr and the NBA's last true dynasty. Now, the NBA is a league that has been built largely on the backs of dynasties, and I think that this is it. I can't see another scenario coming along where you get a franchise that has as dominant of a stretch with as many good players as Golden State has right now. And maybe this is the end. And many people feel that this Golden State team is going to look vastly different next season, but until that happens, I'm riding with Steve Kerr and Golden State, but I do think it could be an interesting series. And again, the poll question today at KGYMradio.com, we want to know how you think the series is going to play out. Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's bringing you today's KGYM poll question.
Badger Mike says Raptors in six.
There you go.
And 67-17 makes a great point. Even if Toronto does get swept and Kawhi leaves, the Kawhi trade was worth it, and so was the hire of Nick Nurse, because the franchise had bombed in the playoffs for so many years, and I couldn't agree with that more. Them getting to the playoffs, or excuse me, to the finals is where they wanted to get to, and now they're playing with house money.
319-366-1600. That's the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. We've got a Thursday staple, Woodja, on the way. Juwan Howard, formally introduced to the Michigan faithful as the new head coach of the Wolverines in Ann Arbor today. They, of course, are pretty familiar with him from his playing days there. But is this going to work out? Juwan Howard at Michigan. We will discuss when we return after this.
Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, presents another edition of the Cubs Report with Todd Brommelkamp.
The Cubs are readying for the possibility Ben Zobrist may not be returning to Chicago. Zobrist has been on the restricted list since May 8th, which means he's currently not on the 40-man roster, nor is he drawing a paycheck from the team. It's been reported Zobrist and his wife, Iowa City native Julianne Zobrist, are getting a divorce. This week, reports began to surface the 38-year-old Zobrist may retire rather than return to the Cubs. With that in mind, today's news the organization has signed former MVP Carlos Gonzalez to a minor league deal makes a little more sense. It'd give the team a veteran left-handed bat off the bench in the event Zobrist doesn't return. For now, Gonzalez will head to Des Moines, where he'll wait for a return call to the major leagues. The move should allow for Mark Zagunas to get regular at-bats with the iCubs and for the team to take its time before possibly bringing Ian Happ back to the majors as well.
Ford Pass. Everything you need to keep moving right in the palm of your hand. Now you can earn points to use toward flexible complimentary maintenance when you buy or lease a new Ford and sign up for rewards. Plus, use the app to access roadside assistance. You'll even earn exclusive Ford Pass rewards just for maintaining your vehicle. Only Ford Pass combines roadside assistance, Ford Pass rewards, and now when you buy or lease a new Ford, earn points you can use toward flexible complimentary maintenance. Ford Pass, built to keep you moving. Built Ford proud. Visit your participating Ford dealership to find out about how you can earn complimentary maintenance on every new Ford.
Roadside assistance is included for certain Ford owners and available to everyone for a per-service fee. Ford reserves the right to change program details without obligations. Visit your participating dealer or FordPassRewards.com for program rules and restrictions. Ford Pass, compatible with select smartphone platforms, is available via a download.
At Trex, we know there's a place for wood in your backyard. We recommend the fire pit. But when it comes to choosing the right material for your next deck, look no further than the superior beauty and durability of the number one name in outdoor living. Trex Decking delivers the look of wood without all the work and the worry. So make sure your next deck is built with Trex.
Find Trex Decking at Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander. Visit either location in Iowa City.
The family kickoff to summer is back this Saturday, Tanager Place Summerfest. All the fun is from 3 to 6 with over 50 free activities, including the General Mills Make Your Own Cereal Tent, Eddie's Rod and Custom Car and Motorcycle Show, Craft Tent and STEM activities, and so much more. Bring your family to Tanager Place Summerfest this Saturday at the Collins Aerospace Sports Complex on Collins Road across from Norridge Park. Generously sponsored by General Mills, Collins Aerospace, Master Tool and Manufacturing, and Diamond V. Details at tanagerplace.org.
The Grill Works in Marion is a grill master's dream. Stocked with over 200 sauces and rubs, grills, smokers, and accessories, they have everything you need. Even free classes to up your grilling game. Need some barbecue advice? This is their passion. Beginning June 5th, tune in here on the gym each Wednesday at 5 for the grilling tip of the week. And let the Grill Works make you the grill master you deserve to be. The Grill Works, your grilling and smoking headquarters. Visit them on 8th Avenue in Marion and on Facebook.
Before the start of the game, or once the game is over, the soundtrack for your celebration is Smart Rock on Smart FM. KGYM and Smart FM are the perfect combination for a great summer of top-of-the-line sports coverage. And Smart Rock is the perfect complement for all the action on and off the field. Sports on KGYM and Smart Rock on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
The Golden State Warriors return to the finals for the fifth straight year, while the Raptors are making their first ever appearance. Game one.
Tonight, starting at 7 o'clock here on the gym, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
Rick Pitino, of all people, is asking for folks to use self-control. We'll get to that story before the top of the hour. Woodja on the way as well, and the NFL kicking around the idea of playing an 18-game regular season schedule. All that and more, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continuing on 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio, as well as 106.3 and 107.5 FM, the South and North Gyms, respectively. You can also catch us online, kgymradio.com, either live via the stream or after the fact. Just download the podcast and listen to us at your leisure. Kyle has joined us in the studio, our producer Kyle Mann, ready for another Big Board update. Big Board updates on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by Alexander Lumber. You can check them out in Iowa City at their temporary location, 2802 Independence Drive, or the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street.
The Iowa football team will begin the 2019 season under the lights, kicking off against Miami of Ohio at 6:30 in Iowa City. They'll host Rutgers at 11 the following week and then travel to Ames for a 3 o'clock kickoff. And then all three of those games are set to air on FS1. Michigan, Purdue, and Northwestern will each be 11 o'clock kicks. And then Nebraska date to finish the season will kick at 1:30 on BTN. The basketball team announced that Ryan Kreener is going to be traveling with the USA East Coast team. He'll play three friendlies in Athens, Greece in mid-June. The Colonels dropped game one of a doubleheader yesterday 9-4 and then led in game two when it was suspended by rain but not rained out. Instead of the Colonels' fourth rain out in the last 10 days, they're picking that game up today and making another run at a doubleheader. The suspended game is picked up with the Colonels leading 1-0 in the bottom of the first, with that lone run coming from a Wander Javier single, and that's his first RBI with the team. Benton Community graduate Amber Pfizer has become a first-team All-American for the Minnesota softball team. She started for the Gophers today in the school's first-ever Women's College World Series. Unfortunately, UCLA won that one 7-2, but that is a double elimination tournament. Tonight after the show, it's game one of the NBA Finals between the Golden State Warriors and the Iowa native Nick Nurse-led Toronto Raptors. You can hear that on our South and Main gyms, or you can hear the Twins and Rays on the North gym.
If you are in Cedar Rapids for the Division III World Series, which gets underway tomorrow at Veterans Memorial Stadium, we welcome you to our fine little hamlet here in eastern Iowa. And yes, this is what passes for sports talk radio in these parts. Rob Raines set to join us in the 6 o'clock hour as we'll look back on St. Louis's Game 2 victory in Boston at TD Garden as the Stanley Cup Finals now knotted at one game apiece as the series shifts back to St. Louis Saturday night. More NBA Finals discussion on the way as well. Plus, as we mentioned, that 18-game regular season, a possibility for the National Football League. Before we get to Woodja, do you find it ironic that Rick Pitino would be asking anybody to exercise self-control? This is the same Rick Pitino who famously had an affair with a woman at an Italian restaurant and has had some problems controlling his own impulses in the past.
Provided escorts to recruits.
Yeah. He wants everybody else to be held to a higher standard or to hold themselves to a higher standard. More specifically, Alex, the fans of the team that he's coaching in Greece. Did you know that Rick Pitino was currently coaching in Greece?
When I saw this story today, I found out, but prior to today, no, I did not.
He is coaching Panathinaikos. He's coaching in Greece. His team beat another team 91-68 in the semifinals. Pitino's a winner. Say what you will about him, he's a winner. He's got this Greek team heading into the postseason. He wanted to address fan behavior. It's a little bit different, apparently, in Greece than it is here in the United States. What he wants fans to exercise self-control over? Smoking during games, which is in Europe not quite carrying the same stigma as it does here in the United States.
So people are just ripping heaters in the upper
people
deck.
People are, yep, firing up lung darts there in the 200 level watching the game. This is you can't make this quote up again. This is Rick Pitino asking, imploring, begging fans to exercise self-control, the man who himself has no self-control. Quote, I smoke cigars on a golf course, but there's nobody else around. But you're in an arena and 10,000 people are smoking and the players are choking. So sooner or later, you've got to say, hey, man, we're at an athletic event and I'm going to discipline myself and we'll wait until halftime. And I'm going to go out and blow my brains out with cigarettes. That's your option. But not when there are athletes and there are little kids who want to come to the game, but they don't care about young people and the athletes who are breathing it in.
Folks, sorry to cut you off
there. No,
but folks who talk about karma being a you-know-what, please listen to what Todd just said. This is a guy who has won how many national championships? who has won
some of them have been vacated,
national championships. One has been vacated. He's coached in the NBA. He's coached at the pinnacle of the sport. And in the semifinals of his recent of his job right now, in the semifinals after a victory, he is telling the fans of the team he is coaching to stop ripping heaters in the upper deck.
See,
this is amazing.
In the United States, we're concerned about children being hit by foul balls at a baseball game. And in Greece, he's concerned about children breathing in secondhand smoke at a basketball game. Different strokes for different folks. 536.
How the mighty have fallen.
No smoking allowed inside Chrysler Arena in Ann Arbor. Juwan Howard introduced today officially as the next head coach of the Michigan Wolverines. I don't know if you've seen this or not. There's some scuttlebutt about Phil Martelli possibly joining Juwan Howard's staff at Michigan.
That would
Martelli,
be a really big addition.
The former St. Joe's coach, as I guess as an assistant or in some sort of advisory capacity. The folks, Brendan Quinn, who covers Michigan for The Athletic, says that there is something to this, that those rumors have been circulating in Ann Arbor for a while. Would you, our regular Thursday staple here, has us asking the question, would you say Juwan Howard is going to be able to experience success at Michigan? Is this going to work out? Does Juwan Howard and Michigan, I'm trying to figure out a way to phrase this in the form of a would you, and it's not working out really well.
Does this end well?
So screw it. Would you say, there we go. Would you say this ends well? Juwan Howard at Michigan, 319-366-1600. Old people are really happy there. It's a callback to the Fab Five days, and nostalgia is very strong, especially in college athletics. Juwan Howard has no head coaching experience at the college level. He has no head coaching experience anywhere, to my knowledge. He's been an assistant in the NBA until recently. My gut tells me no, that this is not the answer for Michigan. But is it the best that the Wolverines could have done, knowing that John Beilein left very late in the game? And it's May, and what are you going to do? Who are you going to turn to? They reportedly had some candidates that were not interested in the job. Ed Cooley staying at Providence. So you go and you get a name that you know will excite your fan base and will certainly be familiar to basketball-playing teenagers. I mean, most people know who Juwan Howard is. Would you say this is going to end well? Because I think the answer is no.
I'm with you. And I'm going to throw a caveat out there that I want to see how well he recruits. And this is where I think the entire operation for Juwan Howard is going to hinge on. And in his introductory press conference, somebody asked him about recruiting. And here is the quote. Recruiting is going to be a challenge. I have to first understand all of the rules. I want to continue to make sure this culture does not take a step back. I will learn and get into the rule book of the NCAA as far as what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do. That's going to be one of the biggest challenges. To my understanding, there are a lot of rules out there. It's a little scary to hear from your head coach who's taking over your team.
A lot of rules.
There are a lot of rules out there.
Let's figure out how we can skirt them.
Got to make sure that we don't take a step back culture-wise, because that was the question, right? When John Beilein left, everybody was saying this was one of the last guys that did it right. This was one of the last guys that didn't cheat, didn't pay players, and was able to put a product on the court that could at least compete with the big boys, that could get to a national championship game. And he left because of the corruption that we're seeing laid out by the FBI, and he left because he was developing players too quickly, and they were jetting for the NBA. And when people suggested Juwan Howard come in, it came with a connotation of, well, they're now going to accept the Fab Five again, because a lot of those guys had been blacklisted for the way that situation ended in Ann Arbor. So I don't know necessarily what this is going to look like. And that's what's so tough. You don't know what his recruiting philosophy is going to be, because I don't think he knows what his recruiting philosophy is going to be. And if he can hire a guy like Phil Martelli, who was a longtime successful coach, a really good coach at St. Joe's, had them as a number one seed with Delonte West and Jameer Nelson back in the day, maybe those guys could guide him. But this is the ultimate wild card right now, because he didn't talk about X's and O's. We're just talking about recruiting, and he didn't know much about that. And you just wonder, what's he going to be as an in-game coach? Will he be able to instill defense? Will they be able to? Are they going to take a step back? This is a basketball program that if you hire the wrong guy, things can go south in a hurry, and that's the scary part for Michigan fans right now.
Brenton and Marion on the Hurting and Stocker Jewelers text line says, Howard gets 5 years and Michigan falls to an average Big Ten team. Recruiting is going to be a challenge. Counterpoint 6936 says he just needs to surround himself with at least one former head coach.
At least.
Not to draw parallels here, but there were some questions when Iowa State hired Fred Hoiberg.
Right.
And look what Fred Hoiberg did. He went out and brought guys like Bobby Lutz onto staff and surrounded himself with guys. Doc Sadler is another name that comes to mind. Guys who had head coaching experience, guys who know and understand the college game inside and out. Phil Martelli would fill that role. I don't know whether this is going to happen or not, but if Juwan Howard follows a similar path to what Fred Hoiberg did at Iowa State, he could, in theory, have similar results. Now, I'm not saying going down the transfer road, but if he surrounds himself with college men, college people, I think he's going to be able to overcome a lot of the things. Again, you don't necessarily want your new head coach standing up there going, gee, golly willikers, there's a lot of these rules, and I don't know what they are and how to follow some of them. And that's, again, as you said, a little disconcerting here, but there, I think everybody understands there's going to be some growing pains, a growth period for Juwan Howard on the job. I just don't know how patient Michigan fans are going to be, because they're going to expect immediate results.
They will. And the other thing that I keep getting to is we're having this discussion whether or not he's going to be able to recruit effectively. And we haven't gotten to, I don't know, the most important part. Can he coach? Can he be a head coach? He's been an assistant coach in the NBA. He's had other jobs after he left the NBA as a player. Has it been 5 years yet? Maybe it's been 5 years. He hung around for a long time.
Too long.
Can he coach? At least a guy like Penny Hardaway was a high school head coach. He had some head coaching experience and had a bunch of ties to potential recruits. Patrick Ewing at Georgetown, I think the jury's still out on whether he can coach. We can talk about recruiting all we want, but if you have a head coach who struggles with in-game adjustments, struggles with the X's and O's, it really doesn't matter how many recruits you bring in or what level of recruit you bring in. He has to have a plan, and right now I feel like it's going to be a lot of trial and error early on. As he said in his press conference, he even said, I don't have a roadmap right now. I'm still trying to figure out what it takes to be a coach at this level. So it's just like we talk about with the NBA draft, Todd, where you're taking a guy 15, 16 overall, a bunch of talent, all the talent in the world, but a lottery ticket, whether or not he's going to develop. I feel like that's what we're talking about with Juwan Howard as the head coach of the Michigan Wolverines.
It certainly makes Big Ten Media Days a little bit more interesting in October with Fred Hoiberg as the head coach at Nebraska and Juwan Howard at Michigan. There probably will be some more media attention paid on the league this year just with those two names coming on board. What it means for Fran McCaffrey and the rest of the conference, That remains to be seen. I think Fred Hoiberg can have a bigger, more immediate impact in Ann Arbor than Juwan in Lincoln than Juwan Howard is going to have in Ann Arbor, but time will tell on both fronts there. Fred Hoiberg, as we mentioned, kicking off his Nebraska tenure with their version of the iClub events earlier today, and he was fine and the center of attention until Scott Frost showed up, and then everybody skittered to go talk to Scott Frost.
Scott walk in?
Yeah, he did. Who today said he wants to bring a little of the nasty back. He wants Nebraska football to have that swagger.
He wants to make Nebraska football nasty.
He wants to make Nebraska football great again, and so do Husker fans, and that's going to be easier said than done off a four-win campaign. But these preseason magazines, they've got Nebraska winning the West. Some of them have Nebraska playing in the college football playoff this year. I know it gets boring to say Alabama and Clemson and pick two different teams, but I don't know whether Texas and Nebraska are going to be those two teams.
How can you pick somebody other than Alabama and Clemson right now? Like, how could you possibly do that?
Is this good or bad for college football that it's May 30th and we already feel this is a very Golden State Warrior feel to it, right?
Yeah.
Everybody says NBA opening night. I remember everybody was saying, why are we even doing this? Can we just give Golden State the title now? And here we are at the end. Golden State is playing in the finals tonight, and it sort of feels like, yes, everything was anticlimactic. Are we going to feel the same way in September with college football when all along we're viewing this as, okay, it's Alabama and Clemson, and it's their world, we're just passing through?
I think it's maybe a little bit more ambiguous, or there's a better chance that somebody other than Alabama and Clemson wins a national championship than there is with the Golden State Warriors not winning the championship, because we know how quickly somebody can get bounced from the college football playoff with one loss here, one loss there. Alabama plays very good teams in the SEC. You never know what's going to happen. Odds are they're probably going to be in the national championship game. Odds are Clemson could be in the national championship game, but one game could derail both of those two teams' seasons, whereas Golden State Warriors can coast through 82 games, can coast through three rounds of the playoffs. They lose one game in a best-of-seven series. They win the next four, and there's just no entertainment value to that at all.
Rob Raines is set to join the program coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Longtime St. Louis sports writer will give us his opinion on the Blues' Game 2 victory over the Bruins last night. The Stanley Cup Finals now even at a game apiece. You can catch every game of the Stanley Cup Finals right here on KGYM, just as you can catch every game of the NBA Finals here on the Gym, including Game 1 tonight as Golden State visits Toronto, a slight one-point road underdog against the Raptors. 5:49, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, the NFL said to be exploring the option of expanding, not team-wise, but its regular season schedule. Will fill you in after this.
It's spring cleaning time, and the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency is your one-stop drop-off for garbage and recycling. The Landfill and Resource Recovery Building on County Home Road is open 7 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Saturday, so you can avoid the lines on Saturday by stopping in during the week. And remember, to help keep our roads clean, safe, and avoid getting a big fine, cover your load. Thank you for helping keep garbage off our streets. Need more info about garbage and recycling? Just go to solidwasteagency.org.
Sunshine, grass, beer,
baseball.
You call that a strike? Best seats ever.
Best seats ever.
Home run, high five.
Hot dogs.
Happy family.
Happy, happy family.
Twins tickets. Twins tickets.
That's hit a long way.
Twins tickets. Get them now. Twinsbaseball.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
100 years of hard work can take you far, and no one knows that better than Goodyear. In 1918, we started the Akron Wingfoots basketball team, laced up, and took to the court. And we've been outperforming the rest ever since. Goodyear proudly celebrates our 100th anniversary in basketball and our relentless dedication to being unstoppable. Goodyear, more driven.
A Sport Clips Championship haircut experience makes you feel like your hair has its own walk-up music. Maybe you play sports. Maybe you play sports online. Or maybe your sport is keeping up with your kids. Your hair deserves its own walk-up music. And at Sport Clips, we make it easy. A game-changing cut from a stylist trained for guys while you're surrounded by sports. Hair this good needs no introduction, but you'll want one anyway. So download the app, check in, and get your hair in the game.
After an off day, the Twins begin a challenging three-city road trip Thursday night against the Rays from Tropicana Field. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight, starting at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
So this is something I was unaware of until just today, but they're making another Rambo movie, and I guess it's already been made technically, but the release date is set for September 20th, Rambo Last Blood, and the trailer was released online earlier today. Have you watched any of the Rambo movies?
I have not.
Familiar with the Sylvester Stallone franchise?
I'm familiar with the franchise, but I have not viewed any of the movies. But I did see the stir that it caused on social media with the inclusion of the song from Lil Nas X, Old Town Road.
That's, I believe, one of Mark Dukes' favorite performers.
Yes.
Nas X, who, as everybody knows, ascended to the throne after Lil Nas 9 passed away. Lil Nas X, Old Town Road, used in the trailer for Rambo Last Blood. How Sylvester Stallone is getting up there. I don't know what the plot of the last Rambo movie is, but I'm on the hook here. I'll dive in and see what else I can come up with this. The NFL, as we mentioned going into the last break, is reportedly kicking around the idea, at least one of the two parties that will sit down and negotiate the new labor deal are kicking around the idea of an 18-game schedule. I'll let you figure out whether it's the owners or the players and what the other side is going to say about this, but the owners want to go to 18 games. Remember, this is the same National Football League that spent the better part of the last, oh, we're closing in on a decade now, right? Trying to convince everybody that player safety is at the forefront of league discussions and that these brutal gladiators out there who are crashing into one another like human demolition derbies, that they're worried about player safety. And, oh, by the way, while we're worried about their safety, we're going to make them play two additional games every year. I can't see this garnering any support with the players, but
they can't accept this. They can't accept a deal that includes two more games.
I see this coming to fruition because I think both sides ultimately will be intoxicated by the money involved. Because if you add two more games, that's two more games, regular season games worth of revenue, and players are going to be compensated for playing additional games, in theory. You, as a player, you're going to look and go, no, man, this is a bad idea. 18 games, the stress on our bodies, plus the postseason, never going to happen. The owners will dangle money in front of the players, and this will come to fruition. Now, according to the article on CBS Sports, it does not sound as if there's a ton of movement on this. As a matter of fact, nobody even knows how many owners are ready to line up behind this proposal, but I'm assuming that you would have to cut the preseason. I don't know why they play 4 weeks of preseason games to begin with, but there's a way to get this done. I think they could pull it off. It's just a question of whether or not it's the right thing for the league to do.
And it's not. They're also talking,
I think we agree on that.
They're also talking about expanding the playoffs. So maybe the decision will be to not extend the regular season, but to add those games to the playoffs.
I've
seen that proposed as well.
Expanding the playoffs. Give me an NBA or NHL feel to the postseason where you 16. Get some of these teams with 9 wins in, give them a chance in an additional wild card game or something. Why not? 319-366-16. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll let you know what's in store for the final hour of the program tonight. Back with more after this.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
The Golden State Warriors return to the finals for the 5th straight year, while the Raptors are making their first ever appearance. Game 1.
Tonight starting at 7 o'clock here on the Gym. 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
Sylvester Stallone takes on the Mexican drug cartel in the latest installment of Rambo. Rambo Last Blood, quote, "I want revenge." And he uses a bow and arrow. That's all I can tell you about after watching the trailer for Rambo Last Blood during that last break. But it's Rambo taking on the Mexican drug cartel. The fifth.
Sylvester Stallone at age 80. No, he's 72.
The fifth installment of the series. He returns as John J. Rambo, again set to hit theaters September 20th of this year. The trailer shows Rambo living a lonely life as a cowboy on a sprawling ranch, but he comes out of seclusion to take on a Mexican cartel to rescue his friend's daughter after she's kidnapped. Shut up and take my money. Or not. Coming up with us in the 6 o'clock hour, Rob Raines, who covers the St. Louis sports scene, is with us. We'll chat a little bit about the Blues and their now even Stanley Cup series with the Bruins after last night, but we'll also get his thoughts on the Cardinals. He joins us when we return after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. The NBA Finals start tonight without Warriors forward Kevin Durant. He's still out with a right calf injury. Coach Steve Kerr says it's a long shot that Durant would be able to practice before Game 2, but ESPN's Stephen A. Smith believes Durant might not play at all in this series.
The expectation is that he's not going to play, and the reason for that is that
You know, you see him, he still looks a bit gimpy. He's engaged in absolutely no basketball activity whatsoever.
Stephen A. Smith on Golic and Wingo. DeMarcus Cousins is available to play tonight for the Warriors. He's been out more than 6 weeks with a torn left quad. Our coverage of Game 1, Warriors and Raptors, starts at 8 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ABC, and the ESPN app. Juwan Howard officially introduced today as the new head coach at Michigan. Howard says he's hoping his presence will help mend the relationship between the school and the Fab Five, who had wins vacated after NCAA sanctions. Baseball today, the Cardinals beat the Phillies 5-3. Dakota Hudson gets the win. The Giants snap a 7-game losing streak. They beat the Marlins 3-1. The Diamondbacks and Rockies are tied at 10 in the 10th. The Red Sox and Yankees rained out in New York. An incident at last night's Cubs-Astros game at Minute Maid Park in Houston reignites the debate about extending netting to protect fans. A 4-year-old girl sitting down the third base line beyond where the netting ends was struck by a line drive and taken to the hospital. She's reportedly recovering. Golf in the first round of the Memorial. Ryan Moore is the leader at 7-under. Tiger Woods, 5 shots back.
Coming up Friday, will the Warriors take another step towards a three-peat, or will the Raptors make some history of their own? Plus, we get you primed for a huge weekend in sports, including Red Sox-Yankees from the Bronx. Golic and Wingo Friday. 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Oh, wow, Bob, that's a lot of work.
What?
You're waxing your car the old-fashioned way. Why?
Because I want the look, the protection, you know.
Well, now there's a better way. 303 Touchless Sealant. Spray on and rinse off. You're done in minutes. And it lasts longer than the wax you'll be pushing around your hood all afternoon.
Sold. 303 Touchless Sealant it is. Hey, where are you going?
Everywhere, Bob. It's a beautiful day. 303 Touchless Sealant. All the protection and shine in no time. Now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hiring used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address. ZipRecruiter.com/will. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WILL. ZipRecruiter, smartest way to hire.
6:04, welcome back in the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you for the third and final hour tonight before we turn things over to Game 1 of the NBA Finals as Golden State visits Toronto as a one-point road underdog. Lots of sports action going on this time of year. We got the NBA Finals starting up. Stanley Cup Finals are in full bloom as Game 3 on the horizon Saturday in St. Louis after the Blues knotted that series at one game apiece last night with a victory in Boston. That makes Alex very happy. And joining us now to discuss all things St. Louis, Rob Raines, the Missouri Sports Hall of Famer, stlouissportspage.com. And Rob, did you ever think you'd see the day where the Blues won a Stanley Cup Finals game?
Yes, because I plan to live till I'm 122. So. I knew it would happen at some point in my lifetime. Yes. It was exciting. I mean, it definitely, you know, you see so many teams have come along in the years. You know, there were a few times in the 90s where they had like the best record in the regular season and then got knocked off in the first round of the playoffs. You know, we've seen that happen a couple of times. So it's just, I think it's the hardest championship in sports to win because the fact that the playoffs basically are an extra fourth of the season. I mean, we're playing games now basically 2 months after the regular season ended. So, you know, that's a lot of wear and tear on those guys, and it's a tough sport to play to begin with. I mean, you have to win three rounds just to get to the championship, and there's seven, you know, potentially seven games, you know, in each series. So that's a toll. I mean, I think that's probably why there's not very – I can't shy chapter and verse. I'm not a hockey historian here, but I bet you in recent years there's not very many teams that have gone to the Stanley Cup final back-to-back years. It's just so hard to do.
At least for myself, I'm not going to speak for all Blues fans, but there was a little bit of nerves after game one, the way the second and third period went, that maybe the Bruins were just sort of a cut above the Blues. They outskated them. Just the fact that they won, but also the way that they won, did that give an extra energy to Blues fans? The way that they really controlled the game for three-plus periods and were able to get a overtime goal past Tuukka Rask?
Yeah, I think the basic emotion before that game last night was really, you know, tense. I think everybody was really worried, you know, Blues fans particularly. I mean, because I think it added into this fact was, even though it had been 49 years since the Blues have been in the Stanley Cup Final, they had never won a game in the Stanley Cup Final in their team history. The only three times that they were there, the first 3 years that they were in existence, they were swept each year. So they were 0-13 going into game two, you know, last night they were 0-13 all time in Stanley Cup final games. And I think that's just a tremendous monk, even though, you know, these guys weren't even born, you know, at that point in time. So, I mean, obviously they had nothing to do with it, but that was just still a tremendous monkey that was on this franchise's back. And to get that win, get it into overtime on the road, tie up the series 1-1, coming home, the next two games at home, potentially the next three of the next four games at home, you know, really gives everybody, I think, a lift. I think that atmosphere in downtown St. Louis on Saturday, when you got the Cubs Cardinals playing, you know, about half an hour, 45 minutes before the hockey game begins, it's just going to be something I don't think we've seen in this city in a long, long time.
I was going to ask you, what are your expectations atmosphere-wise? Obviously, we've seen the World Series recently in St. Louis, but Cubs Cardinals on top of Game 3, it should be absolutely ground zero for the sports universe.
Well, I would say this. They had 14,000 people at Enterprise Center on games 1 and 2 to watch the game on the Jumbotron. So, you know, that tells me that this city has gone nuts for it. You know, I mean, it was for charity. You know, $5, I think, admission charge and half-price concession stands, and all the money went to the Blues charity fund. So, you know, it was for a good cause. But that place was packed. Ballpark Village was packed. They're closing down streets outside of the Enterprise Center for watch parties and, you know, all those kind of, you know, pregame concerts and things. So yeah, it's hopefully the weather cooperates and it'll be a nice night for everybody. But it's I would say this: if you're coming to the game, plan to get there really early and be really patient as far as driving and parking is concerned.
I will take that. I was planning on heading down there at noon or one on Saturday, but I have to ask you, I know that he's sort of been a little bit up and down in the postseason, but the way that Vladimir Tarasenko is playing, how much of a lift is that giving this team right now?
Well, he's their best player. I mean, when you have a talent like he has, there's no question he is the best player. And you win championships. I don't care whether it's football, whether it's basketball, whether it's hockey, baseball, whatever sport it is. I think you win championships when your best players play their best. I mean, I'm not saying that it can't happen that you can overcome, you know, a star player being in a slump at the wrong time of the year. But if you want to win, it really does help to have your best guy playing his best. And he's at his best right now. I mean, it's, you know, he did get called out, you know, the first couple of games of the San Jose series. He wasn't playing that well. Coach Craig Berube kind of, you know, put him on the notice that, you know, he needed to play better. And I'll say this, he's responded. I think he's got a goal in every game since. So, you know, that's a good formula to trying to win a cup.
Rob Raines with us from STLSportsPage.com. Let's turn our attention to the Cardinals right now. What's going on?
Well, yeah, we have to. Okay, fair enough.
What's going on with the Cardinals right now, Rob?
They won today, in case you didn't hear that.
They did.
And I know there's some rumblings that Alex Reyes may be back sooner rather than later. What do you know about that?
I was just got back from Memphis. I was actually down there for a couple of days working on a feature story that'll be up here this weekend before the draft. But the rumors down there or notices down there were not anything official, but all indications are that he's going to start for Memphis on Sunday. And because the Cardinals want to be sure, he's thrown 70 and 77 pitches the last two starts at Palm Beach. So that's pretty good as far as the durability is concerned. But they want to make sure he can handle the bat. Obviously, he's still, you know, broke his pinky and that punch in the wall in Omaha a few weeks back. So, they want him to be able to grip a bat and swing a bat. First, he had to be able to prove he could catch, defend his position and wear a glove and catch the ball and those kind of things. So he's done that. Now he's got to be able to see that he can swing the bat. And if he can do that, then I suspect maybe at the most one more start in Memphis. But I think, we'll see when that next spot in the rotation comes up, obviously how they're going to fill that spot that Cabrera, started last night, if he's going to get another start or if they're going to do something different in that spot. So I would say middle of June, probably at the latest, you'll see Alex Reyes in the Cardinals rotation.
This May has been an absolute disaster for this team, and a lot of people ask, well, what's going on? I chalk it up to the starting pitching, the bullpen, and the offense have been completely ineffective all month. Is there anything more to say?
Well, that pretty much covers every facet of the game, right? And did you leave out anything there? I can't remember. No, I would say this, though. As bad as this month has been, and I'm always, a glass is half full as opposed to half empty kind of guy, especially at this point in the season. There's three things to remember here. There are five games out of going into today, so obviously they won today, so we'll see what happens to the games tonight. But they're going into the games today. There are five games out of first place, three games out of a wild card spot, with 100-plus games to play. And that's playing about as bad a baseball for a three-week period as you could possibly play. So, is Paul Goldschmidt going to play as bad for the next month, the next 3 months as he's played this month? I don't think so, not with his track record. Is Matt Carpenter going to do what he's done to this point in the season? Who knows? Is the starting pitcher going to possibly be as bad? No, it can't be as bad. So, there's a lot of things that have to, for the Cardinals to extend, how they played this month into more months would be like historically bad baseball. And I just don't see that happening. It was a bad stretch. It's been a bad 3 weeks, bad month. We're going to call it that. But it's still in the relatively, long baseball season, a short period of time. They can get through this.
Now, I ask this question because changes have been made each of the last 2 years. But is there a situation during this season where you could see more changes made?
Possibly. Obviously, you've already taken Walker out of the rotation. I would say Wainwright's spot in the rotation might be a little bit tentative. I don't see a whole lot of changes to the lineup. They can mess around a little bit with right field and center field as far as, the combination of Bader, Fowler, Jose Martinez. Potentially, I guess you could do something with Ozuna, but he's because he's a free agent at the end of the season, all indications are the Cardinals are probably not going to bring him back. Could you get a lot for him as a rental if you try to trade him? Maybe. I just don't see a lot of, to me, it changes that you could make. Hicks is, going to be the closer. It's the people who are not performing well are the guys that you think are going to perform well. And I just don't see them being that quick to pull the trigger on those guys. I think that, all of them are guys that they really like. And I think that they're not personally, I don't know what they feel about them personally, but just guys that they like as players. And I think their expectation is that they're going to play better. I think it's going to be a very patient ownership group and management group, because they don't, the knee-jerk reactions in this franchise just don't normally happen. And there were obviously some reasons why they had to make the changes that they made, a year ago. I could see them, as far as maybe significant changes, maybe going out here after the, next month or so, if the things don't get a whole lot better, and trying to bring in a veteran starting pitcher. And not as a free agent guy, but as a trade possibility, because they do have young players that are kind of probably frozen at Memphis that they can't find a spot for in the big leagues. They probably could put a pretty attractive package together to go out and get somebody, a rental type player to try to, bridge that gap until some of the youngsters get, kind of a little more seasoning. I could see a move like that, but I really don't see anything else significant on the horizon.
You mentioned Paul Goldschmidt and the fact that he's not going to play this bad for the rest of the season, and I would agree with you on that, but what can they do to get him going at this point?
Well, they moved him to third in the batting order today. They flipped him and DeJong, and had DeJong bat second. He got two hits. They're both singles. But, I think they just want to get him in a situation where, he's had more RBI opportunities. They've got six games in a row now without a hit out of the leadoff spot. And it takes 26 at bats or 24 at bats, something like that. So, that's a bad way to start. When you already got, one out, nobody on, when he comes out up, majority of time. So they've got to get him in a situation where there's guys on base in front of him and some traffic in front of him and give him some opportunities to, even if he's not hitting home runs or extra base hits, he at least has a chance to, get a hit and keep the train moving a little bit.
with Michael Wacha, I couldn't help but think back to the 2013 playoff run and how unbelievable he was and just how unbelievable it is to see him now. How much of the tightrope is this organization walking with him and realizing this is a business where you need results, but at the same time realizing he was once one of your top prospects?
Yeah, I think the results are more important than the fact that he was good 6 years ago. I think the basic bottom line is that he's a free agent as well, like Ozuna at the end of the year. There's been absolutely no indication that the Cardinals have any interest in bringing him back. So I think, if he may get another opportunity or two here in the bullpen to see what he can do, but then I would say there's going to be some kind of a DL-type move probably, and just, try to get him, some rest and then see if he can come back after that. I don't think they're thinking long-term or legacy with him. I mean, it is going to be a short-term, what can you do for me now type situation, and especially when they have a need, when they have somebody, they have to have somebody perform in that spot. And if he's not going to do it, they're going to try to find somebody else.
What are your thoughts on Dakota Hudson and the season that he's had so far to date?
I think he's pitching really well. He went six innings today, gave up one run, only walked one that was unintentional, and pitched a really good ball game. I think his last few starts have all been really good. I'm very high on Dakota Hudson. I think he's got a chance to be a really good pitcher. And I guess that's probably why I'm more high on this club than maybe some other people are down about him. I think especially you get Reyes back into that rotation, and if he can pitch the way that we think he can pitch, the way that he pitched before all these series of injuries, if you've got a top four basically of Flaherty, Reyes, Hudson, and Michaelis as your fourth guy, I'll take that over most of the teams in the league, if not certainly in the division. And then you've got a combination of guys that, potentially could be the fifth starter. So whether that happens, the rest of this season or whether we're talking 2020 for that, I think the foundation of this starting rotation is very solid and will be for the next several years.
Is it going to be interesting to see, to monitor the playing time of Dexter Fowler? The fielding has been pretty rough. He's in a little bit of a slump offensively as well.
Yeah, that's a juggling act. Martinez played well enough, hit well enough that he forced his way into the lineup, and he's still doing that. So that leaves the Bader-Fowler combination of how do you pick who's hot, pick matchups, pick, the spots for try to keep both of them playing at the same time, basically three players for two positions. And I think that's going to be what they continue to do. I mean, Fowler was doing a lot better there for a while, and then he got sick and missed about, four games in a row or something. He just really hasn't come back and played very well since then.
How about Colton Wong? He got off to a really nice start this season, and he's sort of resembled the Colton Wong we've seen the last couple seasons. He seems to be a really frustrating player to watch.
I think he's one of those guys that when the team is going well, he plays well. And when the team is struggling, he struggles. And I can't give you a reason for why that would be. I will say this, though. I think he's done a much better job this year of separating, the fact that he's not hitting very well from playing defense. He's still playing really good defense, Gold Glove caliber defense. And sometimes that's been a problem in the past where if he was struggling offensively, he let it affect him defensively a little bit. And I think primarily because he knows Mike Shield is behind him and in his corner, and it's going to give him an opportunity to play. Will he get a day off occasionally? Sure, like he did yesterday. But I think he's going to be in there, at least, six out of seven games. And I think he knows that. And I think he's a better offensive player than he's shown this month, too. I think he's in that same group of players. Will he be a, Carpenter, Goldschmidt level of, hitter? No. But I think he can be better than he's been.
Among the concerns we've been talking about, where does the bullpen's performance rank?
I like the guys in the bullpen. I think except for, the problem they've got now is they've rushed Carlos Martinez back and got him in the bullpen, and he hasn't really done anything significant so far. Andrew Miller so far has been a very big disappointment. And I think they're kind of the same boat with the bullpen guys that they are with the main guys in the lineup. I mean, these are guys they've invested heavily in. They're counting on them to do the job. And if they don't do the job, they're going to struggle and they're going to be in trouble. But I don't know that you're ready to pull the plug on any of those guys right now and put somebody else into those roles. Hicks has, had a hiccup the other night, but I can't, against Atlanta, but I don't really think you can blame him when he's been used in such a weird manner this month that, it's really been hard on him to stay sharp and stay consistent. And he did get the same day and pitch much better. So I think he's still, quality, arm out there and one of the best in the game. So they've got to get those other guys that they're counting on being key performers and bridging that gap to get to Hicks. That's the guys that have got to get it done.
Rob, appreciate our chats as always, and enjoy this Stanley Cup Finals run for the Blues. As you know, they don't come around all that often.
No, it's been a lot of fun. Hope they can keep it going. Thanks for having me.
All right, appreciate it as always. And the Cardinals 5-3 winners earlier today over the Phillies, and Dakota Hudson, outstanding, picking up a quality start, 6 innings, allowing just 1 earned run, struck out 4 hits, and 3 walks. Guy that many people thought was going to be a reliever, but the Cardinals committed to him opening the year in the rotation, and he's done nothing to lose a grasp on a rotation spot at this point. And
he's gotten a lot better.
He has gotten better, and he's solidified his rotation spot because there are a couple other guys in the rotation that weren't performing very well. Michael Wacha moved to the bullpen, and questions as to whether or not you can continue to trust Adam Wainwright in that role. They tried Genesis Cabrera the other night. The results were not great. He may or may not get another turn, but you heard Alex Reyes probably about 2 weeks away from coming up to St. Louis, and I, fingers crossed, I think this time he's in St. Louis to stay. But hopefully he stays healthy, and you never see him at AutoZone Park in Memphis again, because I've been high on this guy since before he even came to the Midwest League. A tremendous, tremendous right arm. And if they can get him into the starting rotation, it can go a long way toward giving this team a boost. You got to remember, there's a lot of baseball left to be played.
There is.
A lot of baseball left.
And I know Cardinal fans are freaking out, and rightfully so. There are 100 games left, but I know there are several Cardinal fans saying, well, there are a lot of games left. How bad could it get? And then there are some saying it couldn't get any worse. So I don't know which one to believe. I don't think it can get much worse than it did here in May, but at the same time, you are relying on a lot of guys to be key contributors in your starting rotation, Miles Mikolas and Michael Wacha, in your lineup, guys that are absolutely struggling in the bullpen. Your key guys are not effective right now, and that's scary for any team.
319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. We encourage you to use it to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. A big thank you to Rob Raines, a member of the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame, for joining us here in the 6 o'clock hour. Colin Ward Henninger of CBS Sports was with us in the 5 o'clock hour. How do you think the NBA Finals are going to play out? They get underway tonight with Game 1 between the Warriors and the Raptors. That's our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. You can swing by and vote. Thank you to our friends at Emil's Hideaway for sponsoring the poll question. 6:23, we'll take a quick timeout. When we return, Kyle will join us in the studio for his final Big Board Update of the day. Big Board Updates brought to you by Alexander Lumber, and we'll have one after this.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at lindertire.com.
Car category names like sports car or subcompact sound so one-dimensional, and great cars just aren't, like the restyled Honda Civic. So I named a new category, SPAFLU. That's SP for sporty, thanks to an available turbocharged engine. The AFE is for standard safety and driver-assistive features, like Honda Sensing, and the LU is for value. Test drive the Honda Civic today.
Hurry into your local Central Midwest Honda dealer or go to centralmidwesthondadealers.com for more details.
We've all heard the joke, why do they call it golf? The answer? All the other four-letter words were taken. Hi, Dave Austed here. We hear those words when golfers airmail the green or duck hook the ball into the water. It could be a swing thing, or it could be your clubs aren't fit for your size, swing, and ability. Custom fitting isn't just for the pros. In fact, custom fitting golf clubs will actually benefit the amateur golfer more. So take some advice from Austed's, a Golf Digest Top 100 fitter, and book an appointment to get fit today. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
Quit eating your burgers off a coffee table.
If you want to eat a burger, put it on a bar. Follow your instincts to B-Dubs for the new All-American Cheeseburger. Fresh, juicy beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges, covered in gooey cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And knock that baby down with a frosted beer at the bar. Just like the sports gods intended. The new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.
The family kickoff to summer is back this Saturday. Tanager Place Summerfest. All the fun is from 3 to 6 with over 50 free activities, including the General Mills Make Your Own Cereal Tent, Eddie's Rod and Custom Car and Motorcycle Show, Craft Tent and STEM activities, and so much more. Bring your family to Tanager Place Summerfest this Saturday at the Collins Aerospace Sports Complex on Collins Road across from Norridge Park. Generously sponsored by General Mills, Collins Aerospace, Master Tool and Manufacturing, and Diamond V. Details at tanagerplace.org.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
The Boston Red Sox and New York Yankees, live from Yankee Stadium this weekend.
Saturday starting at 5:30 here on the gym, 1600 AM. KGYM.
626. Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you from the confines of the KGYM studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Next Thursday, a week from today, we're going to be back out on the road. A KGYM road trip brought to you by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. You know the drill. Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road. Happy hour from 3 until 6, and on Thursdays, like right now, you can walk in the door at Mulligan's and enjoy half-price wings from 6 until close, either boneless or bone-in. Variety of sauce options for you. Mulligan's Pub, the home for the KGYM road trip, driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Back there a week from today. Lots going on in the sports world. Kyle is with us to tell you all about Ryan Kriener's big summer overseas in Europe and a whole lot more with this big board update. It's presented by Alexander Lumber. They're on the move to a permanent location this summer, but right now you can still find them at 2802 Independence Drive in Iowa City.
The Iowa football team will begin the 2019 season under the lights, kicking off against Miami of Ohio at 6:30 in Iowa City. They'll host Rutgers at 11 the following week and then travel to Ames for a 3 o'clock kickoff. And then all three of those games are set to air on FS1. Michigan, Purdue, and Northwestern will each be 11 o'clock kicks. And the Nebraska date to finish the season will kick at 1:30 on BTN. The basketball team announced that Ryan Kriener is going to be traveling with the USA East Coast team. He's going to be playing three friendlies in Athens, Greece in mid-June. The Colonels dropped game one of a doubleheader yesterday, 9-4, and then led in game two when it was suspended by rain, but not rained out. Instead of the Colonels' fourth rain out in the last 10 days, they're picking that game up today and making another run at a doubleheader. Benton Community graduate Amber Pfizer has become a first-team All-American for the Minnesota softball team and started for the Gophers today in the school's first-ever Women's College World Series. Unfortunately, UCLA won that one 7-2, but that is a double elimination tournament. Tonight after the show, it's game one of the NBA Finals between the Golden State Warriors and the Iowa native Nick Nurse-led Toronto Raptors. You can hear that on our South and Main gyms, or you can hear the Twins and Rays on the North gym.
Is there anybody out there who thinks Toronto has this wrapped up before the series even begins? 319-366-1600. Lots of love for the Raptors on ESPN today. Everybody seemed to think that they were playing the role of the contrarian, but when you have everybody playing that role, it seems pretty transparent to me. We had Colin Ward-Henninger on, who granted spends a lot of time around the Warriors, but he feels that this is a five-game series, that Golden State is going to handle things rather easily. They are a one-point underdog on the road tonight as the series opens up in Toronto. You tell me. We want to hear from you. How do you think things play out tonight in game one of the NBA Finals between the Warriors and the Raptors? 366-1600. Pick up the phone and give us a call or shoot us a text on the Hertine & Stocker Jewelers text line.
Isn't it sort of a strange state of affairs where everyone's playing the contrarian and the person who, like, uses their brain and looks at something for what it is or objectively is seen as boring or just going with the flow, but actually they're the ones actively playing the contrarian because everyone else is is trying to?
Well, that seems to be the winning formula, especially in sports talk radio.
Yeah,
nowadays.
It does.
So it would seem too easy, and there isn't really a whole lot of debate for Golden State when everybody would do what you would expect them to say, and that's that Golden State is probably going to add yet another title to this dynastic run here. So what you're left with is people picking Toronto, trying to justify it, and hoping for the best, because occasionally a blind squirrel will stumble across an acorn. This is, again, it's pretty clear to me what's going on here, but I listened all day long and I thought, okay, that's weird. It's about the third person that said, you know what? I'm probably the only person who likes Toronto in this series. They were sandbagging.
I'm the only person.
What they play, Leonard missed 20-some games this year where they were trying to manage his workload, and now that they've turned him loose in the postseason, you're seeing the results of it. I think Nick Nurse has done a tremendous job in year one coaching the Raptors. It's amazing that he's got them to this point. It takes nothing away from his job if they wind up losing to this team in the finals. You're talking about one of the all-time great dynasties in the NBA. This is going to go down along with Michael Jordan's Bulls as greatest runs in the history of the NBA. Now, granted, Jordan did it twice, and there was a break in between, so there was sort of the first set of players that won three titles, and then the second iteration with Kukoc and Rodman when they won the remaining three titles. These Warriors have had different looks to them. This may be the last iteration with Kevin Durant. Lots of speculation as to what he'll do this offseason. We aren't even going to see Durant in games one and most likely games two of this series. But this, to me, is the opportunity for Golden State to further cement itself, its legacy. Steve Kerr to further cement his legacy as a coach in the NBA. And I see no reason to be picking against them right now.
No, and I think in many ways, this is the greatest dynasty in NBA history. I know you can't argue with six championships and Michael Jordan, but can anybody objectively say that those teams were better than the Golden State Warriors? And I know you get the... you get the comparisons across era, and it's a different time now, and all that stuff. But we have never seen a team this loaded. I'm not trying to go back and point this out to you, because everybody brings it up quite a bit, but they won the most games in the history of the regular season. They added the second-best player in the world, probably a top 10 to 15 player of all time right now in Kevin Durant. And they're 31-1 when Steph Curry plays and Kevin Durant doesn't. They have so much talent and they are so loaded. We have absolutely never seen a team like this. And I'm with you. I'm not sure we ever will again. I think the NBA is going to make some adjustments. I think that they're going to make it more favorable for some of the small market teams to try to get these top draft picks, to try to get... more balance for this league eventually because of what the Golden State Warriors have done. And even in the day and age of super teams and superstars wanting to go play together, let's not forget that the big three to start this whole thing were all drafted. They were all homegrown players. So you can take away whatever you want from them, but I just don't see another team in NBA history that is as loaded or ever will be as loaded as this dynasty.
Your thoughts. Welcome on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Again, 319-366-1600. For folks who are just joining the program, Alex and the rest of the Blues fans here in the building. I had no idea that there were this many Blues fans in Eastern Iowa, but you'll get this when your team is playing for the Stanley Cup. Very happy after last night's overtime victory. Tuukka Rask is not some invincible goalie. He's not some boogeyman there in between the pipes. You can get to him in the postseason. We've seen other teams do this before, but you got to admit, you go into overtime and you're facing Tuukka Rask, you know the chances are not necessarily looking that good for you. But St. Louis, I thought, had all the momentum going into that overtime period. You probably felt about as confident as you could given the circumstances after the end of the third period last night.
Actually, yes. I thought after they tied that game up at 2 and those two bad goals that they let in, there was this sort of wave that hit me like, okay, they're skating with them. They're actually wearing the Boston Bruins down. They have some zone time. And they look like the better team right now. And it carried through the second period. And it carried through the third period. And I thought to myself, okay, well, this is almost the exact copy, a carbon copy of that Game 7 against Dallas where they dominated the Stars for three periods. They're going up against an elite goaltender that was trying to steal a game from them, and they found a way to win it. And I'm not going to say that I was totally sure that they were going to win that game last night, but the way they came out firing in the overtime period, they dominated that. They got to Boston, they forced a penalty, and then with the 6-on-5, the goaltender pulled before the penalty even happened, they scored. So I think that for non-hockey fans, you watch this series, and it's going to be very difficult not to be entertained, because I think there's a very good chance that it could go the full seven and be one of those classic knockdown, drag-out type series, because the physicality in this series is sort of unmatched of any hockey that I've really ever seen. I'm not saying that we haven't, that the league didn't used to be a little bit bigger and heavy and more physical, but the combination of the skill and the physicality in this series is extremely fun to watch, as are most Stanley Cup finals. So, but this could be a really good one.
Has there been a fan that the one time, has there been a fan that just now discovered hockey? Do we have viral Stanley Cup hockey fan yet? Where no. Someone is like, hey, why didn't you guys tell me about this before?
No, and it's funny you mentioned him. Because
he's a St. Louis guy. That's why I bring him up, right?
Yes, you mentioned Tony X, the guy who discovered hockey in Game 7 of the Blackhawks series in 2015. That was another classic game. He posted this tweet, and it was, this is what you start as a hockey fan, and this is what it does to you. His first tweet was, wow, this hockey thing is pretty lit. I could get into this. This is fun. His last tweet was, after they gave up the first goal of that game to Boston, I want to die. It's what it does to you.
Four words that pretty much every hockey fan has uttered when their team is in the Stanley Cup Finals at some point in time. I want to die. It just, especially when a game goes to overtime, it's just a lump in everybody's throat because you just have no idea when that puck is going to trickle over the line and the game is going to be over. And last night, the Blues played very good hockey on the road to even the series and come home, avoiding the worst-case scenario, which would have been losing both games at the Garden to the Bruins. Boston probably should not have won Game 1. They had to shake off some rust, ultimately wind up winning, and then St. Louis takes it last night. Game 3 on the horizon Saturday, and we will have it for you from the Enterprise Center right here on KGYM. Both the Stanley Cup Finals and the NBA Finals are here on Eastern Iowa's ESPN Sports Talk Leader, 1600 KGYM, 106.3 and 107.5 on the FM dial, and online at KGYMradio.com. 6:40, we're going to take a quick timeout when we come back. If you missed it earlier today, mini start times for Iowa's 2019 football season announced today, including Iowa and Iowa State and what it could mean for the possibility of College Game Day coming to Ames. Back with more after this.
Sunshine, grass, beer,
baseball.
Ah, you call that a strike? Best seats ever.
Best seats ever.
Home run, high five.
That's hit a long way.
Twins tickets. Get them now. TwinsBaseball.com.
At Menards, nobody beats our prices, so you can save big money on maintaining your lawn. Spectracide Weed and Feed kills the weeds in your lawn while feeding the grass. It kills major broadleaf weeds like chickweed, dandelion, clover, and plantain. All you have to do is connect to your hose and spray. On sale for $6.99. Menards Race to Saving Sale prices are good through June 2nd. Plus, a Menards gift card is perfect for Father's Day.
Save big money at Menards.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms, but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit IdentifyEPI.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
After an off day, the Twins begin a challenging three-city road trip Thursday night against the Rays from Tropicana Field. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight, starting at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
6:44, welcome back in the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you for about another 10 minutes here on a beautiful Thursday here in eastern Iowa, 1600 AM. 106.3 and 107.5 FM, the South and North Gym frequencies on the FM dial in Iowa City and Cedar Rapids, and online at kgymradio.com. A reminder, local programming will continue tomorrow with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the gym class, presented by Third Base Brewery. We'll have another opportunity for you to take home tickets to see Hairball at Veterans Memorial Stadium, the Cedar Rapids Colonels hosting Hairball later this summer. Scott and Mark will have your next chance to win tomorrow after 3 o'clock. Jack Dom, the Mount Mercy baseball coach, set to join us on this show tomorrow as part of his weekly segment during the Major League Baseball season, Touching All the Bases. We'll have Game 1 of the NBA Finals to look back on and Game 3 to look forward to with the Stanley Cup Finals. Something else for folks to look forward to: You can never get enough Hawkeye football talk, especially during the doldrums in between the end of spring football and the start of the actual season. And today, we got some start times for the Hawkeyes. A few of these had already been known, but now many more public, including the August 31st Miami game, which is now set for broadcast on FS1 at 6:30. So the Hawkeyes and Red Hawks will take the field at Kinnick Stadium under the lights. And then the next week, follow that up with Rutgers coming to town for an 11 a.m. kickoff on FS1. One of a couple FS1 games announced today. The third, Iowa State, will be a 3 o'clock kickoff on September 14th. So Iowa's first three games of the season will all air on FS1. There had been some speculation or some hope among Iowa and especially Iowa State fans that College Game Day would be on campus in Ames the third week of the season. It's a relatively light slate of games that week. Now the FS1 broadcast has people thinking that this means that that cannot happen. Randy Peterson of the Des Moines Register reports that the site for College Game Day is at the discretion of the producers, and that the station or the network carrying the game has no impact on where Game Day will broadcast from. So even though the game is not on the ESPN family of networks, which includes ABC, the game being broadcast on FS1, it still is possible that ESPN's College Game Day could be at Jack Trice Stadium for Iowa State.
There have been plenty of instances in the past, pretty much every year it happens, but I know how much the talk of College Game Day coming to Iowa City or Ames gets you excited, Todd, and how much that can help with wins and losses for both programs. But we're going to hear about it all off season, aren't we? Because they don't decide until the week before.
Yeah, I was really hoping that this was going to put a dagger in that, but it most certainly did not. Game Day has been to Iowa City before. Game Day has never been to Ames. There's only a handful of places that Game Day has not been to, and among the Power Five conferences, and Iowa State and Ames, one of those locations. I still think there's a good chance if both teams get off to undefeated starts next year, and Iowa opens with Miami and Rutgers, so I think there's a chance they could be a 2-0 going into the Iowa State game. That game, by the way, we saw some early lines from Las Vegas released earlier today. We'll get to these tomorrow on the program, but Iowa and Iowa State essentially a coin toss right now, a pick 'em. I would lean in the direction of Iowa State. I know the Hawkeyes have had Iowa State's number recently, but playing that game in Ames, I think, gives Iowa State just a little bit of an edge right now. But that being said, it's May 30th. You don't know who's going to be starting at many key positions for either one of these two teams. If you're betting on games in May, what you're doing is you're just hoping for the best at this point. And I would wait until the week of Iowa. Actually, what I would do, and this is advice that I've given people in the past, is not bet on Iowa State, because I'm done trying to figure out, done trying to predict what happens in this series. When two rivals get together like this, you can pretty much throw everything out the window. Iowa, as I mentioned, has had Iowa State's number recently. But I think there's a very good chance that Matt Campbell picks up that first win over the Hawkeyes this year.
And that's the weird trajectory of this series right now, where Iowa State, with some teams that really weren't competitive in the Big 12, some of their not very good teams have knocked off some pretty good Iowa teams. And recently, with their very good teams, have not been able to get over that hump. I'm with you. I think that both of these teams are heading into the season with a lot of promise. Iowa State, I know Iowa fans are going to jump back and say, how many times have we heard Iowa State fans say that they finally have their quarterback, they can beat Iowa? I think that they finally have their quarterback of the future. I don't see that changing. I think they have the best quarterback that I've ever seen them have, and he's a guy that will make guys around him a lot better. And can Nate Stanley do the same thing? Can he take a big step forward in his senior year and be that leader that Iowa wants him to be? And I am so happy to be talking about college football on May the 30th, but we still have a lot of summer to go before we get there, don't we?
A great deal of summer to go before we get there. The other intriguing kickoff time for Iowa was the final game of the season, which will be broadcast on the Big Ten Network. Iowa and Nebraska in the Heroes game. This is the last time that Iowa and Nebraska meet at the end of the year for a couple years. The series does not go on hiatus, but the Black Friday portion of the series goes on hiatus. The Hawkeyes will travel to Lincoln for a 1:30 Black Friday kickoff on the Big Ten Network. The BTN, I think, sniffed out that this game is going to have some big implications this year. And so they want this game on the Big Ten Network as opposed to ABC or elsewhere.
Yeah, and the national championship implications. Nebraska playing for their spot in the Final Four, right?
I still don't know where these preseason magazines are. Look, if we want to criticize people for picking the Raptors for the sake of not wanting to do the obvious, I think it's only fair to say there's a little bit of that going on here with picking Nebraska. Although, do you really want to be the favorite in the Big Ten West? It seems to me the past couple seasons, Wisconsin was the overwhelming favorite a year ago in the Big Ten West. They wound up playing in the Pinstripe Bowl. So maybe, just maybe, it's a good thing if you're an Iowa fan that Nebraska's getting all of this preseason love, because that's a lot of expectations heaped upon Scott Frost and the Huskers at this point. Preseason magazines are out if you want to head to the newsstand and pick one up. 6:53, we are just about out the door here on a Thursday night. No more big board updates. Again, a big thank you to Alexander Lumber for sponsoring Kyle's segments on the hour with us, as Ryan Kreener playing overseas this summer, getting a little more experience. That's some good news for Hawkeye basketball fans who have been starved for it this year. Colonels and Bees underway in Burlington, finishing up a sort of doubleheader, half of a doubleheader today, picking up the suspended game and then game two tonight. And we'll see what is in store tomorrow on the program, in addition to Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom stopping by, and a Friday staple, Love It or Leave It. We'll have one more $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub that we'll put in somebody's hands. You can use it any way you'd like at Mulligan's. We'll give you an opportunity to take that off our hands tomorrow. Join us again, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, back on the air, local programming at 4 o'clock tomorrow.